राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे राम राम हरे हरे
शुपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांग स्वामी नामिने सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यादेशकारिणे चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवकवि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज विहारी गिरिवर धारी ಗೋವಿಂದನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಭಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಭಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಭಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರವನಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಜಯ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಹರೇ
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Radha Gopala Nanda Radha Gopala Nanda Radhe Jaya Radha Gopala Nanda Radha Gopala Nanda Radhe Jaya Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman 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 Jaya Gaura Nitai 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 Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada
जय विश्वपाल ब्रह्म सपरिव्रजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महर्षिल प्रभुपाद की जय नित्यलीला प्रविष्टो विश्वपाल ब्रह्म सपरिव्रजगाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महर्षिल प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोडि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड గిరిగోవర్ధాని కి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథపురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలేశ్వరి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుమీలిదాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతిం స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణరఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సవదూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాం సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుదే తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే బృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుదే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛగల్పదరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం నమోస్తుతే వ్యాసవిశాలబుద్ధి భుల్లారవిందాయత వక్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారతదైరపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకపాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధ గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతట జయద్రత జల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామాపి కర్ణఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు బాంధవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരികഥ സംബോധനാഭോദിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപ്പതൈരഹരഹ പ്രേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ്ധാരരവംഗജക്കളിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മൂക്കം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതി ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യബ്രഹ്മാപുരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവേർ വേദേർ സംഗമദേർ ക്രമോപനിഷദേർ ഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗദേന മനസ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതിയാധിയായി നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുർമീലിതാംഗേന ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപതാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാംബികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപരകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹകരണാമാജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവദൂതം പരിജനാശ്രിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യമേവ ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹകരണിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാംശ. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണകരുണാസിന്ധു ദീനബന്ധു ജഗത്പദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. തത്തലാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗി രാധേ വൃന്ദാവലക്ഷ്മി വൃഷഭാനസ്തുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹൃദയപ്രിയേ. വാംശകല്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീയദ്വൈതരാധ ശ്രീവാചാരി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം പാഠായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അനുസന്ധരാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി. നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ വൃന്ദാരവിന്ദായ തമക്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രതിഭ. പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രനേത്രൈകപാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതഗൃഹേ നമഃ. സർവോവംശദോ ഗാവോ ദുഃഖ ഗോപാലനന്ദ പാഠോ വത്സസുധീർഭോക്ത ദുഃഖം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹ. വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണ മദ്ദേശകർപ്പുരം ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടം ജയഗ്രഹജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപ്പര ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ മഹരീ തന്നേലാപുര. അശ്വത്ഥാമാവികർണഘോരമകര ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തേ സോത്തീർണ ഖലു ബാന്ധവൈരനമതി കൈവർത്തന കേശവ. പാരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകേസരം ഹരിരഥ സംബോധനാഭോദിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപ്പതൈരഹരഹ പ്രേപീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാദ്ഭാരതപങ്കജക്കളിമല പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ. മൂക്കം കരോതി വാചാലം
பங்கும் லங்கயலேகிரின் எத்துவாதமகம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம் ருதிரமருதஸ்வன்வந்திவேஷவேதேசாயந்தியமதாவஸ்திதேன மனசா பசியம் யோகிமுயசியாந்தம்ிருஷ்ணாயிரமாயிரோவிந்தநாமீர்த்தன
Every chapter in Bhagavad Gita is important. There is nothing which is not important in Bhagavad Gita. Every path, every letter in Bhagavad Gita is important. But still, certain chapters, according to the nature of the people, it will have an impact on them. Particularly this particular chapter, Bhakti Yoga, because we are supposed to be following the process of Bhakti. Therefore, this chapter particularly significant, 12th chapter. And also, while studying this chapter, you will also know what exactly Krishna is expecting from us in practicing Krishna consciousness. We have the human tendency, particularly under the modes of nature, and also due to the power of illusion, Maya, we always tend to do things the way we like to do it. But Krishna has made certain observations in this chapter, and when we go through them, you will notice that there is a tremendous gap between our standing there and what Krishna is expecting from us in all these things. Generally, the illusory energy or Maya makes us to accept certain things in certain ways. That is the power of Maya. And this principle of illusion, which is expressed in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam, has been accepted by all the great authorities throughout the history of the Vedic culture. When I am talking about the history of the Vedic culture, there was a time in the Vedic history, much before even Krishna and Ramachandra came to this world and appeared in front of us, long, long before that, this process has started under the guidance of the great sages and the great personalities. You will notice in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when you read through Bhagavatam now and then, a list of names of sages mentioned very often. I don't know whether you have noticed that. So many instances you'll find, even starting with the first canto itself. Why did this happen in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam like that? The reason is, it is those personalities who have kept this culture going for such a long time. It is not, and nobody can crush that culture, because their sankalpam or their resolve is such that this should exist for such and such a time in this world. And it is Krishna's resolve and it is the great sage's resolve. You can see, when you read the first canto itself, if you take it, in the Bhagavatam, as soon as Bhishma Pitamaha was going to give up his body in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna prompted from within of all these great sages to come onto the scene. Atri, Vasishtha, Bhrigu, Angiras, Parashuram, with all his disciples, Vishwamitra, and a number of sages are listed there in the Bhagavatam in the beginning, in the 8th chapter of the first canto, where Bhishma Pitamaha was talking to Krishna and the Pandavas, but all the sages are present there. And these sages, all these great personalities who are associates of Krishna, at some times they have assisted Krishna in their pastime, Duvasa Muni, all of them, they laid the foundation of this Vedic philosophy from time immemorial. You cannot ask when, because it is so long ago. It is not even recorded history. It is possible to identify their timings. So, such great personalities have appeared in the Bhagavatam, repeatedly mentioning about their activities, and through their history, Vedavyasa Maharshi is telling us, go through this route. This is the way to Krishna.
This is the way to Krishna. They are telling us directly this route. Why? Not only in the Bhishma Vidyamaha's case. As soon as Parikshit Maharaj comes on the scene, when he wanted to give up his body through Prayobhavesham, by sitting on the banks of the river Ganges, and wanted to give up his body, who arrived there? There is a list mentioned there also. Again, the same personalities, they keep appearing again and again. And you can also notice this throughout Bhagavatam, the same thing is happening repeatedly. So such great souls, such great personalities, they have been the people who have practiced this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, and they have written down the guidance for all of us for the future generations to come in different timings. Even if you take, just for an example, if you take the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, even if you take the second part of 10th canto, you will notice how many times the sages have come on the scene there. I'll just give you some example. The when in the 7th Panchakam, which was later on known as the Kurukshetram, in 7th Panchakam, when Krishna arrived there with all his members of the family from Dwaraka, which was a very, very large number, on the same scene, all the sages also arrived there. Why did they come there? Vasudeva and Devaki, Krishna's parents, they have almost completed their life in this world. And in one instance, they asked the Srinarayana Maharshi, what debts do we have in this world? Normally, Srinarayana Maharshi used to come to Dwaraka very often, because Krishna was there. But never once before, this question was raised by Vasudev to Srinarayana Maharshi. They used to see each other, and they just used to acknowledge and they go. Never spoke anything before. But somehow or the other, Krishna has prompted from within Vasudev to ask this question to Sridhara Maharshi, what are our debts in this world? What should we do now? Now that Krishna has become the supreme controller, and the childhood days have gone and now they are all grown old. And Vasudev felt that need to ask this question. At the old age, these questions will come. What else do I have to do to please Krishna? This question will come. So when this question came up, Krishna had the answer also simultaneously arranged there. He has arranged, made sure that all the sages have also been present there at the same time. At that time, for this Surya Graham, or which of the solar eclipse that was happening there, that was the cause of this. That is what made everyone to be invited. People from all over, they were present there. And all the kings, their representatives and different communities, they were all present there because Krishna was there. They all come for that. And in that festival, solar eclipse, which was happening at that time, Krishna made arrangements for the gopis also to come, along with Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda Devi, and all the old friends from Vrindavanam, they had also come. And from Dwaraka, unlimited number of people. But more important than all that was, that these sages were also present there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sudeva Goswami has not forgotten to mention this. If you read the list they have mentioned there, Sri Shuka Vacha, Shrutva Pradhasu Bala Uttadayajna Seni Madhavya Dakshati Pabatnya Udasva Gopyam Krishne Achilal Parihara Upanayani Bandham Sarva Visyasmi Ashru Visyasmi Rala Ashru Kala Akula Akshyam. That Kunti Devi, Gandhari, Draupadi and Subhadra and all the other wives of Krishna, along with the Govis, they have all witnessed the presence of Krishna there. And then, the women started talking to each other. Draupadi asked several questions to Krishna's wives and they were having a conversation. But, simultaneously, when the women were talking to each other and talking about Krishna and Balaram, all the sages arrived on the scene at the same time. and they are listed here. Who are they? Dvaibhayano Naradascha Chyavano Devalosida Vishwamitra Shadanando Bharadvajo Dagautamaha Rama Sashishyo Bhagavan Vasishto Galavo Bhrigu Pulasya Kashivo Atrishya Markandeyo Brihaspadi Yudhastra Dashchayasascha Brahmaputra Sadangira Agastyo Yajnavalkascha Vamadeva Deyo Pade Tan Trishwasana Sothaya Pragati Nirbhavaya Pandava Kasharamoja Praneer Urvishavandidan. Vedavyasa Maharshi, Srinara Maharshi, Chavana Maharshi, Devala, Asita, Vishwamitra, Shadananda, Bharadwaj, Gautama, Parashuram with all his disciples, Vasishta, Galava, Bhrigu, Pulasya, Kashyapa, Atri, Markandeya, Brihaspati, Dvida, Trida, Ekada, and Brahma's children, Sanaka, Sanatana, Sanadana, and Sanatkumara, Angiras Maharshi, Agastya, Yajnavalkya, and Vamadeva. All of them, all the prominent names, Krishna has mentioned there. Sudeva Goswami is mentioned there. When the sages arrived on the scene, immediately Krishna and Balaram and all the Pandavas, they got up from their seat and paid their obeisances to the great sages and respected them. First thing, that's what they did. And similarly, you will also notice in another instance, so many instances you will find this, that the sages had a total presence here because of Krishna's presence in this planet. So, you will also notice this later on when Sudeva Goswami mentioned this in the Bhagavatam in a very humorous way. Krishna Sudeva Goswami's nature is like this. When he speaks Srimad Bhagavatam, any time when he talks about a particular devotee, he will take that consciousness. For example, when he is talking about everyone is different in the Bhagavatam, Prahlada is different from Narada Maharshi. And Ambarish is different from Vritrasura. And similarly, Gopis are different. Uddhava is different. Bhishma is different. Kundidevi is different. All of them are different way of their relationship with Krishna. And Sukadeva Goswami had to talk about every one of them. And particularly, when referring to each one of these devotees, namely Bhishma or Kuntidevi or Dhruva or Prahlada, no matter who it is, Sukadeva Goswami will take up that consciousness of that devotee. This was why the Srimad Bhagavatam has become so so interesting to the devotees. When he spoke about Dhruva, Dhruva's consciousness is in Sukadeva Goswami. When he spoke about Prahlada, Prahlada's consciousness is in Sukadeva Goswami. When he spoke about Uddhava, Uddhava's consciousness is in Sukadeva Goswami. That is why he was able to discuss a variety of topics in different angles about the Absolute Truth in Srimad Bhagavatam, in one scripture. He was able to bring it all together. And that Sukadeva Goswami says that when Krishna went to, he had two special devotees whom he had to bless at the very last part of the 10th canto. One was Shuddhadeva and the other one was Bahulashva. Bahulashva was the king, Shuddhadeva was an old poor brahmana. So, Bahulashva and Shuddhadeva, two devotees in the Bhagavatam, it comes in the very end of the 10th canto. In 10th canto, if you closely look, you will find there are different types of people who had been liberated by Krishna. 10th canto is full, nothing but a feast of liberation, isn't it? It's a feast of liberation. Everyone has come to Krishna, they've all gone back home, back to Godhead. That was their good fortune. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita is the book for liberation. If you want to get liberated, that is what Bhagavad Gita will teach you. That is the only science of Bhagavad Gita. How to get liberated from this material world. That is the science of Bhagavad Gita. But modern world understood Bhagavad Gita can be used for various purposes. For management they are using Bhagavad Gita now. For stress relief they are using Bhagavad Gita. And they are using Bhagavad Gita how to play cricket. They can use Bhagavad Gita. And all sorts of books are published in the name of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is not meant for any of these things. Bhagavad Gita is meant for those who have come to realization that they want to go back home, back to Krishna. It is for that Bhagavad Gita was compiled. And our Sukadeva Goswami was going to visit the visit these two great personalities with Krishna. Krishna took all the great sages with him when he went to see both these Bahulashva and Sukadeva. Krishna decided that he will go at the same time to both. To both the devotees. That is the most interesting thing. Naturally, Krishna expanded himself into two forms he took. One form he went to Bahulashwar and another form he went to Sukadeva. But more interesting than that, Sukadeva Goswami says that we all became two. All these sages also became two. And there also you will notice the list mentioned there, who all went with Sukadeva Goswami to the king and to the Brahmana. So, let's look at that. Who the list is mentioned there?
Tayo prasanno bhagavan dharugena ahudam raham arukhya sagamman bhir videhan prayau prabhu narado vamadevo atri krishno ramo asido aruni aham brihaspati kannu maitrayaschavana adaya.
These are the lists mentioned there. Parashuram, Vamadeva, Srinarada Maharshi, Atri, Vedavyas, Asida, Aruni, Brihaspati, Kanva, Maitreya, Chavana. They were all with me, Sudeva Goswami says there. So, Sudeva Goswami split into two and went with, one group went with Krishna to Bhulashwa, the king, and another group went with Krishna to Sukadeva. Sukadeva was a poor Brahmana. In his home, there was no facilities for anything. There was not even a proper place to sit. So, the conditions were extremely poor in the Brahmana's home, Sukadeva's home. There was not even proper place to sit. And all Sukadeva could offer him was some water in a glass. And Krishna accepted that with all these great sages. Together, they went to Sukadeva and accepted that offering from Sukadeva. On the other hand, when they went to Bahulashwar's palace, where everything was so opulent, Krishna received that also simultaneously when this was happening in Sukadeva's home. So, after all these incidents were over, Parikshit Maharaj was a little bit confused at this time, that how come that, how would you know which Sukadeva went where, which Sukadeva Goswami went where? Sukadeva Goswami answers to Parikshit Maharaj, that's exactly what I am thinking now. Who went where? I don't know. That's what he said. This was his answer. So you can see that the Krishna has his own associates, close associates, and they are these great personalities, great sages, and they keep appearing in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And in Bhagavad Gita, when we are studying the qualities of devotees, which is going to come in the next few verses, what you have to observe is, who are these people who have these qualities? They are these great personalities, these great sages. They had all these qualities in them, and therefore Krishna has recognized them and given them that their position in the creation. And that is why we study these qualities. Otherwise, when you study these qualities in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is going to talk about, you will probably wonder where these all qualities are there. And these qualities have been acquired by these great personalities due to their endeavor and striving hard for spiritual life and by Krishna's kindness to them, mercy to them. So we spoke about Bhagavad Gita, where we stopped last time was the four options Krishna has given to us. Verses 8, 9, 10 and 11 in the 15th chapter. Verses 8, 9, 10 and 11 in the 12th chapter. That's what we were discussing about. So this time, before we go into that, when I went to Kerala this time, it was an opportunity for me to visit some of these ancient temples, what these great sages have installed the deities. And many of them, like there was two temples, where Sukadeva Goswami has installed the deities. Sukadeva Goswami is installed in two temples. And another temple where Kashyapa Maharshi has installed the deity of Vishnu. There was a temple which was installed by Agastya Maharshi. There is another one where Vasishtha has installed the deity. So, and Parashuram in many, over 108 temples of Lord Shiva's. He was, after all, Parashurama was a disciple of Lord Shiva. And because of that, he has installed the deities of Lord Shiva in 108 temples. And many of these temples are still, almost all of them are existing, and they all go through their deity worship is still going on, and they are able to teach us that these great sages, when they have taken some decision, that will happen in this world. Nobody will be able to turn it down. That is how that system works. It is their sankalpam or their resolve that will decide that this deity worship and this temple should stay this long, and that will stay there. And that cannot go under any circumstances. This is one important factor. In the Bhagavatam, there are so many instances to show this to us. If you look in the ninth canto of Bhagavatam, ninth canto is particularly relevant to all these great sages, how they became sages. Mandhara, story of Mandhara. Mandhara was the great personality whose mouth Indra has put the finger in and told him to suck, because Mandhara had no mother. So Mandhara, in that way, the name has come to him as Mandhara. Mandhara's place where Mandhara eventually gave up performed his penances and left this world, that place is still there. One can go and see that. And this Mandhara's son is Muchukunda, whom you see in the Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. A very interesting personality, Muchukunda. So Muchukunda is Mandhara's son. So like this in the Bhagavatam, you will find some very, very, very interesting personalities. Personalities at different times. So while we were coming to the 9th canto, what I was trying to mention this was, Parashuram, one incarnation of Krishna, a major incarnation. Out of the 10 major incarnations, Parashuram is the first Ram. There are 3 Ramas, isn't it? Ramo, Ramascha, Ramascha, Krishna, Kalki, Janardana. That is how they say. Ramo, Ramascha, Ramascha. Who are they? Parashuram, Sri Ram, and Balaram. 3 Ramas. Out of this, Parashuram is the great personality. Now, the birth of Parashuram is known to all of you, probably if you remember, in the Bhagavatam, how Parashuram had come to this world. Gadi was a powerful king. Gadi's daughter was Satyavati. This story is in the 9th canto, we have spoken about it, but still I will just briefly come through that. Gadi's daughter was Satyavati. So this Satyavati got married to a sage called Hrishika. Hrishika is also, another name is Arvind. So Hrishika married Satyavati, and in those days, before they conceive a child, they will think a lot before, and they will want a child according to their desire. They could create a child according to their desire. They were such people, these sages were such personalities. So Krishigan called Orvan was a very powerful king, a powerful sage, who married Satyavati. Satyavati is Gadi's daughter. So he married Satyavati. And Satyavati wanted to have a son from Hrishikan, a good, intelligent Brahmana boy from Hrishikan. Satyavati was a Kshatriya, remember that. And Hrishikan was a sage Brahmana, saintly Brahmana. Hrishikan agreed. Hrishikan said to Satyavati, I'm going to chant some mantra. The system is, they take some ghee and chant the mantra with the ghee, and feed the ghee to the mother. And then the sage decides such and such a nature the child must have, and the child will come out with that nature. In other words, with that they will invite some great personality to come and take birth in the mother's womb. So Satyavati and her mother, that is Gadi's wife, they talk to each other about their different desires. So Satyavati got this ghee, which was chanted by, which mantras were chanted by our Hrishikamuni, and Satyavati was going to take it. So Satyavati's mother said to Satyavati that you tell him that I would also like something from him so that I can also have a child. Agreed. And Hrishika, naturally being a request from his own wife, Satyavati agreed to offer some ghee to him, to her also, to Satyavati's mother, by which Satyavati's mother could also become pregnant and have a child. So the two lumps of ghee were chanted with the mantra by Hrishika, and Hrishika handed over to Satyavati, one to give it to her mother and one for Satyavati. After this, Satyavati went away. This system, you may wonder, existed only then. No, it existed not very long ago, even right up to 100 years before this system existed. There were personalities who could do this. But who chants this mantra? The people who have perfected the chanting of the mantra only can do that. Only then it will be effective. In other words, they have reached that mantra siddhi. Mantra siddhi had come to them. when they chant with the ghee in the hands and they chant the mantram, they have the capacity to do such a thing. So here what happened was Satyavati naturally got these two ghee in her hand. Mother thought that being wife, Hrishika, her mind went in this direction, somehow or the other, thought that Hrishika must have given the best one to her, his wife, to Satyavati, and the one which has been given to me may not be of that quality. Some thoughts, like an unusual thoughts, gone through her head like this. So she said to Satyavati, give yours to mine and I'll give mine to yours. It is somehow it happened like that. And they exchanged the ghee between the two. Hrishika was not there. Hrishika has gone away in the ashram. He is a saint, he is busy 24 hours, he is busy with his penances and austerities and meditations and all kinds of things. But he realized what has happened because of the transcendental nature. He could see what is happening, how it has happened. He didn't say anything. When he came back, he asked Satyavati, have you taken the ghee? Then she knew that there's no point in lying to Hrishika. It won't work. So she said like this, that I've given mine to my mother, which she has taken, and she has given it to me, and which I have taken, he said. Hrishika said, it's going to be a disaster, he said. The result is going to be a disaster. Satyavati could not understand what is it. Hrishika said, your mother is a Kshatriya woman. She can have a Kshatriya son. That is why I gave the Kshatra Tejas into that ghee. While chanting, I gave the Kshatra Tejas into that. And to you, being my wife, I gave you a Brahma Tejas into that ghee. Brahmana Tejas into that ghee. Now what has happened? You have got the Kshatra Tejas and she has got the Brahma Tejas. The result is, two great personalities born in this world. From Gadi's wife, that is Satyavati's mother, a king was born called Vishwamitra, who became one of the greatest sages in the history. Throughout Bhagavatam you will find him, Ramayanam you will find him. Vishwamitra became a close associate of Ramachandra. In fact, more or less took up the responsibility of educating Ramachandra and Lakshmana in the forest. Vishwamitra did that. And throughout Ramayana you will find his presence at different instances. In Srimad Bhagavatam you will find he is supposed to be a king, supposed to be a Kshatriya king, but all the tendencies inside Brahminical. Just see that difference, what it makes. That powerful Kshatriya body, but the nature completely Brahminical. And that Vishwamitra became the one of the great personalities later. In Ramayanam as well as in the Mahabharatam you find even Srimad Bhagavatam also. Now, that Vishwamitra was born like that. What happened to Satyavati? Satyavati got frightened that the son you are going to have, although Brahmana by birth, is going to have such a fierce nature that he will kill, uproot this whole world so many times that the whole world will be frightened of him. Hrishika said this to Satyavati. Satyavati got fearful seeing that such a son is going to come out from her womb. Satyavati pleaded to Hrishika, do something about it. I can't handle it if I get a son like that. Because naturally, mothers feel that, if you remember, when Asipa Prajapati was, when Didi Devi became pregnant from Kashyapa Prajapati, two children were going to be born, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, weren't they? And when she heard that they are going to turn the whole creation upside down, Didi Devi said, can I keep them inside before letting them out? This is what she asked for. He said, if you have strength of mind, you can do that. For as long as your mind is allows you to do that. So for 100 years, Didi Devi held Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha inside. You know the story, this is the Bhagavatam. So like that, the personalities in the womb, they can create that anxiety in the mother's mind. Mother's mind, that anxiety can be created. So Satyavati could not cope with it. Satyavati said to Hrishikamuni that do something so that I at least escape from this. I won't be able to handle it. Said if I get a son like that. Alright, Hrishika said nothing can be done now. Only thing I can do is I can make one concession. One generation it can go further down. Instead of happening straight as your son, but instead of your son will be of that nature. It has to come, he said. Because already I have done whatever has to be done. So from Satyavadi, Jamadagni was born. Satyavadi, Jamadagni was born. And from Jamadagni, son was Parashuram. So Parashuram was born, and it is this Parashuram who has done this amazing things in this world. Amazing things. Took this axe, which went to Kailas, worshipped Lord Shiva, and performed penances, severe penances there. Lord Shiva pleased with such a student. Not only Parashuram was not only a disciple of such a caliber, that Lord Shiva had to hand over to him an axe, Parashu, as it is called, to Parashuram. And Rama took that, and with that axe in the hand, he killed Kshatriyas 21 times in this world. All the Kshatriya kings, he said, should go. They have become nonsense. And with this axe in the hand, he killed them one after the other. 21 times he made this earth free from Kshatriyas. That is what he has done. And this Parashuram, who has been such a great student of Lord Shiva, I had never had a student like him before. He was such a great personality. And this Parashuram has done wonderful things in this world. Wonderful things in this world. Winning the war in this world, killing the opposite side, they are all quite natural. Normal things among many, many kings. Parashuram has also done that. But to kill so many kings and bring all the Kshatriya kings into Kurukshetram and cut their throats and slit the blood into a lake, and seven lakes he made like that with blood. And not only he made those lakes, apart from that, he made that lake a place of pilgrimage for the future people to come. It is there that Krishna has brought all the gopis and all the other Pandavas everywhere were present there in that place for this solar eclipse which I mentioned before. So only Parashuram can do such a thing, that he made Kurukshetram a place which is later on known as Kurukshetram, but Sananda Panchakam a place of pilgrimage. Who can do that except Parashuram? So this Parashuram, after he has killed so many Kshatriya kings, realized how he killed the Kshatriyas. That story is all there in detail in the Bhagavatam. If you read the ninth canto, you will find there very detailed mentions about Parashuram killing. Who all he has killed? Jamadagni told to kill all his brothers. He killed them all. Jamadagni told him to kill his mother. He killed them all also. And like this, and then he has killed all the kings also. So you can imagine the sinful reaction from that. This was a little bit concerned to Parashuram later. Krishna's incarnation is talking this. Parashuram is Krishna's incarnation, one of the major 10 incarnations. And he is saying that when he killed his brothers, he killed his mother, and then he killed the most powerful king at that time, Kartavirya-Arjuna also. Jamadagni told Parashuram what he had done was a little high-handed. But Parashuram won't listen to anybody like that. Okay, mother and brothers, they were brought back to life because of the mercy of Jamadagni. Because Parashuram knows what Jamadagni is capable of. Jamadagni told him to kill them. And all the other brothers refused to kill the mother. That story is a little bit detailed. So, but Parashuram took the axe and cut his mother's throat straight away. And then Jamadagni was so pleased with his son's power, strength of doing that, asked him, what boon do you want? He said, the only boon I want is all my brothers and mother should come back to life again and they should forget what has happened. Jamadagni said, let it be so. And that is how we find that Parashuram got out of that. Renuka was back into life and so his brothers also. And that Parashuram went and killed Kartavirya-Arjuna, who was as powerful as Ravana in the battlefield. Kartavirya-Arjuna was killed by Parashuram. And Parashuram has killed the king, the brothers, the mother. So you can imagine, after all this was done, and so many other Kshatriya kings were killed, all the great sages went to Parashuram and told him, you have to perform some penances for this. You have to perform some penances for this, because this has gone too far beyond the limits. Like you will notice this all the time. When Balaram killed Ramaharshana, the Suta, in the Namisharanyam, the same thing. Balaram also had to perform some penances. They will follow the rules strictly. Although they are great personalities, they have to follow the rules while in this world. So that's exactly what he has done.
So Parashuram went up to Mahendra Parvatam, which is near Cape Comorin, Kanyakumari. That's where this Mahendra Parvatam. Mahendra Mountains, Parashuram performed penances for very, very, very long time in order to know what is the atonement for the sinful activity what he has done. In response to that, Parashuram was advised by the sages to approach Lord Shiva and ask for his benedictions and receive advice from him. Parashuram did exactly the same thing, and on request from Lord Shiva went to Varuna and told Varuna to give him some land which can be offered in charity to the Brahmanas. And that charity happened like this, that Varuna, who had already taken over part of the land of the Bharatavarsham, Parashuram went on to the seashore and threw his axe into the Arabian Sea. The result was that Varuna pulled back the sea from the land. And that is the land you find now from Gokarnam to Kanyakumari. All that land which is previously underneath the sea has gone back behind, and Parashuram took control of that land and distributed that to the Brahmanas. Distributed to the Brahmanas as a penance for what he has performed by killing the kings and the other mother and brothers. So it was like a sort of a atonement what he has performed by doing that. Not only he did that, after the land was recovered from the sea, Parashuram decided to establish temples for the Brahmanas to worship. And he established 108 Lord Shiva's temples there, and so many Durga temples also, and naturally with Lord Shiva to be worshipped. And this act of Parashuram from that day has sustained for so long time in the history. Parashuram had been so successful in that historical time when he did this, and Parashuram is still worshipped for this. And their resolve was such that it will stay. He decided that these temples should stay. Worship should go on here as long as it is necessary, and their decisions cannot be changed. It will not go from this world, because when they decide, it is Krishna's decision. That is how it is. In order to mention this once again, I have to tell you another incident in the Bhagavatam in relationship with that. If you remember Kanna Maharshi, who brought up this girl Shakuntala, in the Bhagavatam you will notice that. In the ninth canto, Sudeva Goswami has put everything in brief there, but the whole details are in the other Puranas also. There, the Shakuntala was born, and Shakuntala was left in the forest. Who was Shakuntala? Vishwamitra Maharshi's daughter. Vishwamitra Maharshi were performing penances in the forest. Menaka came from the heavenly planets. Indra was getting worried as usual, sent Menaka to break Vishwamitra Maharshi's sacrifices, penances. Somehow or the other, Vishwamitra fell into that and Menaka became pregnant. That's all what happened. And this daughter was born. After the daughter was born, Menaka went back. Her mission is over. She has gone back to the heavenly planets. Vishwamitra realized where he is. He also left her and he went away. This incident happened somewhere near Kanna Maharshi's ashram. So Kanna Maharshi saw this girl, brought her to the ashram and brought her up. A little baby, Shakuntala. Shakuntala grew up there in Kanna Maharshi's ashram. Once it so happened that when Shakuntala became marriageable age, when she attained the marriageable age, Kanna Maharshi was thinking, whom should I marry this girl to? After all, Kanna Maharshi is a sage. We see his name in the Bhagavatam all the way through. Living in the forest, where to find a husband? All these thoughts were going through Kanna Maharshi's mind. Just to make it understand a little bit more detail, Kanna Maharshi decided that he wants to find a husband for Shakuntala. The moment Kanna Maharshi decided this in his mind, Dushyanta started from his palace for the hunting into the forest. It's exactly the same thing happens. The moment Kanna Maharshi left and went to Prabhasam to perform some certain austerities and penances, Dushyanta arrives at the ashram of the great sage Kanna Maharshi, looking for some water or some feast from Kanna Maharshi's ashram, and meets with Shakuntala there. Kanna Maharshi is not there. Kanna Maharshi has gone to Prabhasam. It was then that this incident is happening. So where does it come from? Kanna Maharshi felt that when I go away, Dushyanta will come here at the same time. Dushyanta will meet Shakuntala.
And months together, Kannamaharshi was away, and Dushyanta and Shakuntala lived together in Kannamaharshi's ashram. And by the time Kannamaharshi finished and returned back to his ashram, the day before that, Dushyanta left the ashram and went back to the palace. When Kannamaharshi came back, all he saw through his divine vision, what has happened, and realized that our Shakuntala is pregnant. And Kannamaharshi had not disturbed at all in the mind. While Dushyanta went away to the palace, promised Shakuntala that I'll come back and take you back with the entourage, royal entourage, because she is a queen now. Dushyanta has married him. This Dushyanta was a very, very powerful king, and Kalidas has written about him volumes of literature. So anyway, Dushyanta went back, leaving Shakuntala here under the care of Kannamaharshi. So when Dushyanta was coming, Kannamaharshi was going. When Kannamaharshi was coming back, Dushyanta was going back to the palace. They waited Dushyanta to come and take Shakuntala back to the palace, which never happened for a very, very long time. Eventually, the son came out, Shakuntala's son, from Dushyanta. And he is the greatest personality called Bharata. In the Luna dynasty, you will read his name, one of the most powerful kings. What kind of Kshatriya he was? He will go to the forest, catch hold of some lions and cubs, tigers, and bring them and play with them whole day. This was the type of personality he was. Kshatriya means 100% Kshatriya nature in blood and action, in both ways. So this Bharata grew up, and Shakuntala realized that the son needs a father now. They had to go. And then the meeting between Shakuntala and Dushyanta, Kannamaharshi sends Shakuntala back to Dushyanta's palace. And there Dushyanta doesn't recognize Shakuntala, who Shakuntala is. This is the type of world, this is the nature what she had to face that. And at that time, from the sky, Ashariri means not from the body, without any physical body, the voice came out, this is the girl whom you have married while you went on hunting expedition. And then eventually Dushyanta had to accept Shakuntala, and Bharata took hold of the kingdom afterwards. So why I'm saying this is that such personalities, Parashuram, Kannua, Maharshi, Atri, Vasishta, Vamadeva, Medhadi, Vipalada, Vedavya, Srinarayana Maharshi, they all have done such great service to Krishna. And Krishna they are Krishna's friends. How do you know they are Krishna's friends? Krishna himself has said that. Where did Krishna say this? When Rukmini told Krishna, one day you remember Rukmini and Krishna quarreled each other in Dwaraka? That is in the 60th chapter of the 10th canto. So that time, Krishna told about his own faults to Rukmini. If you remember, there are 16 faults Krishna found out about himself and says to Rukmini, this is the type of person you have married. And one of the faults Krishna says, if you look at my friends, Krishna says, all of them have got long beard, one thing. And most of them will be having a beads bag and they'll be chanting some things. And they're all beggars, Krishna says. This is the type of family I'm coming from. Krishna says, you can judge a person by the type of association you have. Krishna is teasing Rukmini like this. Rukmini, think about your past, where you come from. Vidarbha Raja's daughter, such a great personality. Vidarbha Raja at that time, the king of Vidarbha, was such a great personality. All the other kings will bow down before him. And you are his daughter from the palace. Look at me, my friends. They are always begging and they come all together once in a way to see me. And I go with them, I enjoy, eat with them, and listen to them, what they tell me. Krishna says to Rukmini Devi. So, now and then you will notice all these great sages, they have that relationship with Krishna, which is very, very special. And when the sages install the deities, and when the sages wants that worship has to go on, Krishna's worship has to go on in this world, or their spiritual masters, whoever it is, that will go on as much as they want that to happen. And it is not subjected to the time of change of times like Kali or Dwabaram or Trayadam or anything like that. Their instances are like that, and there's proof for that. So anyway, it is only to remind you that these personalities in the Bhagavatam are our guidelines, our guiding force, because they have shown to us that what is possible, chanting a few rounds of the holy name in this world and being satisfied with that is one thing. But to come to the stage like the sages, where you are recognized by Krishna as one of his devotees, is something else, isn't it? That is something else. That is where one looks for recognition. That is Krishna's recognition. When Krishna recognizes, accepts you as Krishna's devotee, and then that is something which is very special. And that is the transcendental relationship of Krishna and the devotees. One can reach that stage. All these great personalities have come to that only due to their severe austerities, penances, and the very strong endeavor in spiritual direction, which they have never deviated from that. Duvasa Muni, in one stage you find in the Bhagavatam that he was playing that role against Ambarish. He has to play that role against Ambarish to raise Ambarish's position as one of the greatest devotees in this world. After the incident was over, the same Duvasa Muni was received by Krishna and the gopis in Vrindavanam. That story we have spoken about before. In one instance, when Krishna wanted to cross the Yamuna river and go to the other side, gopis asked Krishna, "Where are you going?" Krishna says, "I'm going to see my spiritual master." He says, Gopi says to Krishna, "Do you have a spiritual master?" Krishna says, "Of course I have one," he said. "So where is he?" He said, "He's on the other side of the river." Gopi says to Krishna, "We would also like to see him." Krishna says, "No, this is not an ordinary spiritual master. This spiritual master is very angry person. If you upset him, you will be finished from this world. You may not come back here again." Krishna says to the gopis. Gopis all got frightened hearing about Krishna's spiritual master. Krishna says to him, "But I'll tell you, I'll take you one day there, but all you should do is go there, whatever you have prepared, prasadam, bring it over, present it to him, and pay your obeisances and quietly leave from there. Don't ask any questions, don't show anything there in front of him." So gopis all agreed. They all listened to Krishna. And one day, Krishna said, "Let's go to the other side." They crossed the river. On the other side, they saw Duvasa Muni sitting there. And in front of Duvasa Muni, Krishna, excited like a first-class disciple, goes there, falls down in front, pays his obeisances, and started serving Duvasa Muni. Duvasa Muni asked Krishna, "Who are all these people?" he says. Krishna says, "They all come from my village. They have come to pay their respects to you." Krishna says to Duvasa Muni, this story is in the Garga Bhagavatam, you can read it. And Duvasa Muni looked at them all. They all brought up whatever preparations they have made, put it in front of Duvasa Muni, and asked for benedictions from Duvasa Muni by paying their obeisance. Duvasa Muni was pleased with them and offered the benediction to them that Krishna will give them enough satisfaction in their life, in spiritual life. So, and quietly they came back from there. So this is the role Duvasa Muni has played at two different times. Another instance, once Duvasa Muni came to Dwaraka, Rukmini Devi and Krishna was there at that time. Krishna, Rukmini Devi and Krishna know very well what Duvasa's nature is, isn't it? So knows the nature very well. Duvasa Muni says to Krishna that Rukmini Devi asked Krishna, "What would you like to eat today?" Duvasa Muni says to Rukmini, "I would like to eat a lot of sweet rice, prepare as much as possible and bring it over," he said. Rukmini Devi and Krishna went to the kitchen together, started making sweet rice for Duvasa Muni. Made a huge pot of sweet rice and brought it and kept it in front of Duvasa Muni and paid their obeisances to Duvasa Muni. Duvasa Muni then says to both of them, "Now I want you both to apply this sweet rice on all of your body, complete body." And Duvasa Muni put the sweet rice on Krishna's body and Rukmini's body. And then says to both of them, "Now you start pulling the bullock cart. I'm going to sit in the bullock cart." Duvasa Muni says to Krishna and Rukmini. Krishna says to Rukmini, "Don't say anything, one word. If you say anything, you will be in trouble." So they had to pull this cart, Duvasa Muni sitting in the cart. After some time, Duvasa Muni told them to stop the vehicle. Stopped it. And says to Krishna, "Blessed both of them. Both of them live here happily. And throughout your life, let there not be any quarrel between both of you." And not only that, wherever it is also spoken like this, in the Puranams also this reference is there, that wherever any arrow is shot on Krishna's body, it will not have any effect on Krishna's body. That is because of Durvasa's this special benediction. And apparently, the hunter Jara, who shot the arrow at the last minute while Krishna was leaving the planet, that arrow was shot on the lotus feet of Krishna, where this sweet rice was never applied by Durvasa. So it looks that all these things in the pastimes of Krishna, all the great sages are parts of that, the pastimes of Krishna. Now, therefore, our guides in spiritual life, all these great personalities, it is they who have established the Vedic culture. It is their standard that is the standard of Krishna consciousness. Their relationship with Krishna, they were the personalities who in the past have done. In the recent times, we are talking about thousands and thousands of years ago. In the recent times, the great Acharya, Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they have exactly taken the shelter of these great sages and they have propagated Krishna consciousness in their way at their own times. So, where does this culture come from? Vedic culture has no beginning. It has no beginning. It comes from some time immemorial. From the history of these great sages, you can notice that. And they have established certain traditions and systems in this world so that future generations, that is their mercy for us, towards us, that future generations may come and take shelter at their lotus feet. So, coming back to Bhagavad Gita, we were discussing this important topic, four things, verse 8, 9, 10 and 11. What did we find there? Now Krishna is talking about devotees. What is devotee means, isn't it? And there also you will notice something very interesting. Krishna was saying there that in the verse 8, Krishna says, the first option. Mayeva mana adhatsva, mayi buddhim niveshaya, nivasishyasi mayeva, ada urdhvam na samshaya. This is the first option. Mayeva mana adhatsva, absorb your mind in me and intelligence. Mana adhatsva, mana and buddhim also. Mayi buddhim niveshaya. Push your mind towards me. In other words, mind and intelligence, the two important elements of the subtle body, has to be completely absorbed in Krishna. Nivasishyasi mai eva ada urdhvam na samshayah. Krishna says, if you do that, there is no question that you will go back. There is no question at all. As soon as Arjuna heard this, we have seen this, Arjuna said, not possible. It's not possible. Because we know our mind and our intelligence, isn't it? How much can we absorb in Krishna? If you can absorb 2 seconds in the day, I should say that we are successful in what we have done. This is the unfortunate situation. Our situation is so difficult that 2 seconds we can't focus on Krishna. Our mind will not allow us. The nature of the mind to show that how difficult this mind is. So when the first option was given to Arjuna, that straight away the reply from Arjuna was, it's not possible, he said. Krishna says, fine, let's move on to the next one. What was that? Adhasitam samadhadum nashanno shumaye stiram abhyasa yogena dado maam ichhavatum dhananjaya. Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, Arjuna, if that's not possible, adhasitam samadhadum nashanno shumaye stiram, if you cannot hold your mind on to me all the time, abhyasa yogena dado maam ichhavatum dhananjaya. Practice abhyasa yogam. Practice it, he says. Abhyasa yogam is nothing but repeatedly doing it. Continuously doing, repetition, constantly repeating, that's called abhyasa. So if you practice it, Krishna says, you can come to that, to the abhyasa yoga. So abhyasam, do practice it and come to this first stage. Arjuna smiled. if I could, Arjuna is like, more or less like us, our situation. That Arjuna is saying, if that was possible, then I would have done that, the first one itself. Because I don't have the strength for either for doing it straight away or for practicing it. Practicing is concerned, you know what it's like practicing in this world. Even chanting, how much we struggle through everyday chanting is concerned, isn't it? That is also practicing. Chanting is a practicing process to become a habit, isn't it? To chant, and to chant always so that it becomes, the tongue does not speak any nonsense except the holy names of Krishna. That's the goal behind it. But in spite of that, still in 24 hours, how many hours is Krishna's name on the tongue and how many hours is all the other nonsense in this world? So that we all know. So Arjuna on our behalf is saying to Krishna, let's leave that option also. So the first option gone, the second option also Arjuna has said it's not possible. Then we go into the third option. What you have said? Krishna says, Abhyasepi asamartosi. If you're not able to do that, Krishna says to Arjuna, don't worry about that. Mal karma paramo bhava madartama vigarmani kurvan siddhima vapsesi. Krishna says to Arjuna, Abhyasepi asamartosi. If you are asamartha, if you are incapable of doing that, Abhyasepi asamartosi. Mal karma paramo bhava. Do everything for me. In other words, make your lifestyle in such a way that it is completely absorbing in me. For example, japam, chanting the holy name, kirtanam, continuously chanting continuously performing kirtanam, deity worship, puja, meditation, dhyanam, studying Srimad Bhagavatam, prasadam, all these things can make a person become Krishna conscious. Krishna is saying here that if you cannot do that, if abhyasepi asamartosi, mal karma karma bhava, mal artham, abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsesi. There is no doubt you will become perfect. Krishna says to Arjuna. Arjuna says, I am not ready to move into the temple to do this now. I am a person living in this world. I got this Pashupatam with me, Gandivam with me on my back, and all the arrows on my, and I am born like this. And I think till the end of this life, I'll have to kill people. I'm a Kshatriya by nature. I can't get out all these things straight away and to sit there whole day chanting Hare Krishna and also to read Srimad Bhagavatam and to do deity worship. I don't think it's possible for me, Arjuna says at that time. And so you can see that the options are there, but all options are also very, very difficult for ordinary conditioned people to do that. So Krishna says at this point, what does he say? Adhaidada prashaktosi kartum madyogam ashrida sarva karma bhalatyagam tada kuriyatalmavan. The fourth option. Adhaidada prashaktosi kartum madyogam ashrida. That if you are incapable, if you are weak, if you cannot, don't have the strength to do that, kartum madyogam ashrida. Do that yoga system in such a way that sarva karma bhalatyagam. Everything what you do, offer it to me, the results. Sarva karma bhalatyagam. That's what Krishna says. Tata akuriyat atmavan. If you do that, what will happen is, in due course, you will get purified. You will get purified because you are linking your karma with Krishna in that way, by offering the results to Krishna. This karma yogam is a very difficult process. Strictly speaking, it's a very difficult process. Because Krishna has said that karma yogam. Why Krishna spoke about karma yoga in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita? It is for this reason, that unless the karma is right, everything else is not going to be effective. That because karma is not taken very seriously, because of that bhakti yoga also you are not progressing very well. That bhakti is not coming in. Again, anxieties of this world, how to live in this world, how to meet the different needs of this world, all these things are coming back. Why? Because the purity hasn't come. Karma yoga has not worked very well for the person. So, even in bhakti process, unless the results are offered to Krishna, sarva karma bhayatyagam, Krishna says, that sarva karma bhayatyagam is the very basic requirement which is expected from the one who is trying to advance on the spiritual path. So now, in these four verses, if you look, 8, 9, 10 and 11, what do you find? Number one option, difficult. Number two option, difficult. Number three option, difficult. Number four option, somewhat possible, isn't it? Sarvakarma bhalatyagam is not fully possible, partly it is possible. So, but the standard is sarvakarma bhalatyagam. The word is very, very straightforward, that you should not execute spiritual life for your own benefit. That is for pleasing Krishna. In order to satisfy Krishna, work has to be done. If it is not executed in that way, that spiritual life is even does not fall into any of these four categories either. This is the lesson from Bhagavad Gita. This is the standard what Krishna has laid out. Sarva karma bhalatyagam tada akuriyat atmavan. Atmavan, one who is wants to go through the, follow the process of spiritual life and wants to go back to realize himself, his spiritual identity, he has to follow this route. There is no other way. Exactly, spiritual life is nothing but fighting against illusion, isn't it? Maya is the one that is covering us from Krishna. Between us and Krishna, that curtain is standing there. Which is that curtain? The curtain is Maya. Vedavyasa Maharshi mentions this in the Bhagavatam, in the beginning. How does he say that? He said, Maya anjatadubashridam. Maya standing there, depending on Krishna, but as a cover between the devotee and the Supreme Lord. So, so Maya's ways are in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Krishna will talk about it later. What does Maya does? Maya does presents to us something what is not real, isn't it? What is not real is presented before us as real. Number one. Number two, what happens? When we see this something which is as real as that, although it is not real, we think that it is a good thing. It's a good thing. And when that good thing, desires, comes inside attachment to acquire that. So in three stages it happens. Shri Krishna Twalpado Bhasanam Abhayadamam Baddha Nithya Artha Drishir Martyasya Artyasya Manye Vabasaradevayam Yena Sarvatmanayuam. You will see this. Shri Krishna Twalpado Bhasanam. Why does one has to serve Krishna's lotus feet? In order, by doing that, Abhayadamam Baddha Mithya Artha Drishir Martyasya Artyasya Manye. That Mithya, Mithya means this false thing I have accepted as reality and I am not able to break away from that. 24 hours I am thinking that everything is real. This life is real. All the objects are real. I am here permanently. All the associates, relatives, friends, family, everything is real for me. I am a part of that and I will not go away from this. Why? Martyasya artyasya manye vibhasaradi bhayam. When that consciousness develops inside, the fear builds up. I am going to lose them one day. That fear. Why? Ah janasya moho ayam aham mamedi. Me and mine, that has been strongly ingrained in us. It is not possible to break away from that. And when will one be able to get out of that? Shri Krishna Tulpado Bhasanam Abhayadamam. One who has taken to follow the process of Krishna consciousness, he can get over this in this difficulty. There is no other way you can come out of it. That by Krishna's mercy alone, one has to be pulled out from this deep-rooted ignorance inside. Deep-rooted ignorance inside, so that one can see things as they are. See things as they are. All this every day, constantly we are complaining about this. Lamentation and hankering after things. Why is it happening? Because this realization hasn't come yet. The knowledge is not coming in. And because of that, our planning goes on in different ways, trying to satisfy so many objects in this world, thinking that that will please me, this will please me. Nothing will please us except service to Krishna, won't please anything else. So that is the situation. So after these four options were spoken, none of them Arjuna was saying that the Sarvayarma Bhalatyagam, that is the one which was mostly acceptable to Arjuna, and that is why he walked out and fought the war. That Sarvakarma Bharatiyam, Krishna wants me to do that, I'll offer it to Krishna. Here is the result. Krishna's request, and Arjuna executed that desire for Sarvakarma Bharatiyam. He did that. So soon after this, you will find another interesting verse in the Bhagavatam, which has been a little bit difficult in relationship with the four verses before. Let's look at that. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. Dhyanal karma bhala tyagam tyaga chandiranandaram. Then, in the last verse, if you look at the last verse, you have noticed there that karma bhala tyagam is stressed by all the acharyas. No acharya will make a concession on that. If he makes a concession, then he is not an acharya. Because this is a standard, Krishna has set it up. That the easiest thing for conditioned soul to do this world is also this karma phala tyagam. As far as the keeping the mind and intelligence absorbed in Krishna 24 hours is out of question. As far as practicing is concerned, is also out of question. It's very, very difficult. Certain things we can do at a slow pace, the train will move then. And then the third thing is the performing the different types of sadhana. In Kali Yuga, even that has become difficult for most of the people. Performing sadhana has become even difficult. That's our situation. So Arjuna says, as a kshatriya, I can fight the war. Krishna gives the option, sarva dharma phalatyagam, let him do that. So here, you will notice this has been spoken also before in different instances in the Bhagavatam also. that due to association with devotees, salsangatvi nisangatvam. Nisangatvam means detachment. If you get the right association, when we talk about association, you have to understand a little bit better, more about it. People have this impression that, I've gone to the temple, associated with devotees. Why am I not making any progress in spiritual life? On the other hand, I'm coming back with more burden on my back. I'm more confused than before I came. So, are we really getting the proper association? Also, you have to think. Sridhara Maharshi went looking for association. Do you know that? He went looking for association. And he also got fed up and walked back from here one day. It is in the Padmapuranam, you can see. While talking about Srimad Bhagavatam's glories, he came looking for bhakti in this world. There is a list of places he has visited. You can read in the Padmapuranam, while glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam, this is specifically mentioned there. Srinada Maharshi thought, let me go to this earthly planet and find some first-class devotees there whom I can associate with. It is with this plan he came here. What did he see here? He saw all what we are all seeing today at that time. He mentions that in the Padmapuranam. He says that very clearly. He says, I went to several temples. All that was going there was business, he said. There was nothing else going on. And then Brahmanas were performing sacrifices to make money for themselves. He said, this is the situation of the earthly planet, he said. He first went to Dravidam. Dravidam was Bhakti Devi's birthplace. Bhakti Devi was born in Dravidam. And devotees in Vaishnava and Shaiva tradition, they were appeared in that, Alvars and the Nine Marks, they were all appeared in that gravitation. And the place where Bhakti Devi took birth, and the place where Bhakti Devi grew up, it was destroyed by Srinarada Maharshi. And then he went to Karnataka, Maharashtra, Gurjaram, Gujarat, and then eventually arrived in Vrindavanam. So there, if you read, Srinarada Maharshi recognizes that, okay, in the Bhagavatam it says, you should go to holy places, associate with devotees and all that. Tirthi kurvandi tirthani. It says in the Bhagavad like that. So we think that, oh, straight away I should go to a tirtham and I look for all these great souls who are living there. Isn't it? That's what our mind will work. But Sridhara Maharshi is giving an example. I came there one day to all these so-called tirthams and I didn't find anybody there who were interested in Krishna consciousness. All of them are busy in making their own life satisfactory in this world. That's what I noticed there. He acknowledges that in the Padmapuranam very clearly. He says a lot of things there in the name of how far Bhakti Devi has left the mind of the people. And then the discussion between Bhakti Devi and what happened to Bhakti Devi, all that discussion is there. Why? Because Padmapuranam is pointing out one important thing there. Bhakti Devi is always associated with Jnanam and Vairagyam, two things. And the way it is present in Padmapuranam is, when Srinada Maharshi arrived at Vrindavanam, a young girl lying there with two old children. Old means, the mother was about 25 years old. The children, the two boys, they were about 90 years old. And she says to Bhakti Devi says to Srinada Maharshi, Narada Maharshi could not recognize them. Narada Maharshi asked Bhakti Devi, who are these two? He says, they are my children. So what has happened to you? Why is it like this? Why are your children looking so old? Srinada Maharshi, normally children should be much younger than the mother, isn't it? So here, you are a young mother and two old children. And Srinada Maharshi says to Bhakti Devi that it doesn't look very logical to me that they are your children. Bhakti Devi says to Narada Maharshi, what's the point in saying all these things? This is my story. There is nowhere I am wanted anymore. Bhakti Devi said, I was not honored anywhere. I went to all these places. Nowhere I am honored. In other words, there was no bhakti anywhere. What was happening was all these kind of things. So I came to Vrindavanam. When I came to Vrindavanam, I got back a little bit of my health back. In other words, there was some devotion still in Vrindavanam, which has given that health back to Bhakti Devi. But my sons too, one is Jnanam, knowledge, and the other one is renunciation. They have gone actually old. Nothing can be done about them. And it was then that Srinada Maharshi arranged for this famous Bhagavatam classes in Haridwar, for which Jnana Vairagyam arrived with Bhakti Devi and they got back their strength. Jnanam, knowledge and renunciation, are two parts of devotion which cannot be separated. And when they are not there, you can take it that the devotion is also not there. That is the way it is. The Jnanam and Vairagyam, why it is accompanied? In the Bhagavatam, if you notice, in the beginning itself, what does Vedavyasa Maharshi says there? In the Bhagavatam, you will notice the devotional service, the chapter, second chapter, proper title as, I think, devotional service. It is, I think, devotional service. Yeah. And in that chapter, if you read there, you will find that, that, Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashyanyalpani Chalpmanam Bhaktya Shudagrihidaya. The Jnanam and Vairagyam is not there. Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashyandi Alpmani Chalpmanam. One will see the soul inside so long as Jnanam and Vairagyam is going along with it. Otherwise, it will be just a ritual, so-called bhakti process. Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya Pashyandi Alpmani Chalpmanam Bhaktya Shudagrihidaya. Atha Pumbir Dvija Shrestha Varnashrama Vibhagasha Sonushidasya Dharmasya Samsidhyar Haridoshanam. That in the Bhagavadam, in the beginning itself, Vedavyasa Maharshi points out this factor, that Jnanam and Vairagyam are two things which should go with bhakti simultaneously. And it is their story that you study in the Bhagavadam through Dhruva, Prahlada, Bhishma, Kunidevi, and Ambarish, and all of them are showing to us, while living in this world, how detached and renounced they were, and how knowledgeable they were, the Jnanam or the spiritual knowledge what they had in them in realizing Krishna. So, all these things are there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it says there, Salsangatya Nisangatum, Nisangatya Nirmohatum. How it works is like this. The system works like this. Due to Salsangam, due to association with proper devotees, Nisangam, detachment will build up. From Nisangatya Nirmohatum, all the moham or illusion will go away. Nirmohate Nishchalatum. That when Nirmoham happens, our mind will be fixed upon the spiritual entity, or in other words, spiritual truth. Spiritual life will really manifest there. And Nishchala Tattva Jivan Mukti, at that time one is liberated from material existence. So this is that stage in which that process it works. So Narada Bhakti Sutram, Srinarada Maharshi wrote a very authoritative book on spiritual life, especially on the process of bhakti. That is what one should remember. That this book, what Narada Maharshi has written, this book existed long, long ago. Srila Prabhupada has commented part of that. He did not complete that. And although the book is still available, partly Prabhupada has done commented on it. Because on Srinarada Maharshi's this book, Narada Bhakti Sutram, is like a sutram. Sutram means it is only pointing out to something. Suchana. Suchanatval sutram. That's how it's said. It points out to a particular feature, and then it is the acharyas who have commented on this sutram in detail. We have also the Nectar of Devotion from Rupa Goswami, isn't it? Which is an elaborate version of the bhakti process. But long before that, long before Rupa Goswami wrote Nectar of Devotion, Sridharma Maharshi's Bhakti Sutram has been very well established in the devotional world. And many, many instances, things what is mentioned in this are valid then and valid today as well. And this has also inspired many great authorities in the bhakti literature. So in that bhakti sutram, Srinarada Maharshi says there that the who can cross maya? There is one question. Who can cross maya? Kastaravi maya, kastaravi maya. Who can cross maya? Who can cross maya? Twice he asks this question. In answer, he gives that Ya Sangam Tyajadi, who gives up false association. Who gives up false association? Ya Sangam Tyajadi. Then, Yo Mahanubhavam Sevate, who serves great souls. Great souls means great devotees, who serves them. And, Nirmamo Bhavadi. Nirmama means detached from everything. Detached from everything. Nirmamo Nirahangara Samadukha Sugatshami. Krishna will say in the next few verses. So, we'll discuss what nirmamam means. Nirmamam, what does this nirmamam? Nirmamam is a very interesting word. We don't know how attached we are in different ways, in different things. So many examples you can take it for that. There is an unlimited number of examples. Every moment if you analyze your own life in this world, you will notice that our attachment is very, very strong. Mamata is very, very strong. And then Narmamam, that we'll discuss later when Krishna talks about that in the Bhagavad Gita. So, Narmamo Bhavati, Yo Vivikasthanam Sevade, Yo Logabandha Unmulayati. One who takes aloof from the masses, or who stays aloof from everything, Yo Vivikasthanam Bhavati. Krishna also says in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Vivikta Desha Sevitvam Aradir Jana Samsadi. Not too much association with this world. Some detachment from this world. Yo Vivikasthanam Sevade, Ye Logabandham Unmulayati. One who cuts off that connection with this world. These things are necessary in spiritual life. When we say we cut off, people will ask, oh, how can I do that? I got my wife, I got my children, I got my social life, I got my this life, that life. All that life, to some extent, one has to minimize. Because otherwise it's not possible. Because spiritual life is something where the top priority is that to break away this illusory world. And that is not possible otherwise. So Krishna, Narada Maharshi says here, Yo Logabandham Unmulayadi, Nis Traigunyo Bhavati, Yoga Kshemam Tejadi. That one is trying to come out of the three modes of nature and also Yoga Kshemam Bhajadi. One who is looking after the Yogam and Kshemam, that is what Tejadi. He is not concerned about that. In other words, that kind of renunciation is absolutely essential in spiritual life. Otherwise, if you give importance to things which are not relevant to spiritual life, they will take away all the valuable time. All the valuable time in life. It shouldn't be allowed. That's what Narada Maharshi says. Ye karma phalam tyajati. He says, one who gives up the results of one's own work. Karmani sanyasyati. One who gives up his karmam also, ultimately has to give up his karmam also. Tato nirdhando bhavati. If you do like that, karmam, what happens is, with execution of karmam, one gets freed from the dualities of this world. That is the main problem. Dualities means that one gets affected by the happiness and distress, and also enemy and friend. Strictly speaking, this thing called enemy should not exist for a devotee, isn't it? Enemy should not exist for a devotee. But still, devotees have enemies, or they not? We can see very clear examples in many, many instances. Even if you don't want to have an enemy, enemy comes in some form. Enemy comes in some form and does something, whatever he wants to do. So, but similarly, friendship also in this world. There should not be any friendship in that way. That is also, Narada Maharshi makes it very clear. Shatru and Mitram, both are dangerous. When will they be dangerous? At the time of death. They'll come to give you the trouble. So, if you want to escape from that, right at this stage itself, Shatru and Mitram has to be avoided. Otherwise, there will be trouble. That's what, that is why this is all mentioned like this. That you may think that Narada Maharshi is very inhuman. Oh, you can't have any friends in this world. And some people do also enjoy to have some enemies, isn't it? So they can fight all the time. So here, Sri Narada Maharshi is saying, both of them will give you trouble at the time of death. Therefore, you shouldn't have them. Neither of them, you should have. Neither friends nor enemies. That relationship enough just to keep the transactions to the minimum in this world, to keep things going. In the service of Krishna, yes, it is fine. You have to work with people, but not otherwise. Otherwise, all other relationships are, at the end, going to be a problem for the conditioned soul. So here he says, Tado nirdundo bhavadi. If you go through that road, for example, I'm saying this a little bit more in detail. Shatru and Mitram, enemy and friend, are conceptions of the mind. They come from the mind, isn't it? They come from the mind. Now, if you culture that concept strongly in oneself, they will not allow you to live peacefully in this world, nor will they allow you to leave this world peacefully. Nor will they allow you to leave this world peacefully. So that's why nirdhando bhavati. And great, even Krishna also, while in this planet, performing his pastimes, Ramachandra, while performing his pastimes here, showed this one point to us very clearly. Ravana is not Krishna, Ramachandra's enemy. Ramachandra has never taken Ravana as his enemy. But for Ravana, Ramachandra is his enemy. See, Ramachandra never once said, Ravana is my enemy. Never once. Never acted in that way also. As soon as the war was over and Ravana was killed, Ramachandra even performed some rituals, the necessary rituals, told Vibhishana to perform them for his brother, This is how kind Ramachandra was. And not only that, Ramachandra, Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no enmity towards Ravana. Never once thought that Ravana is my enemy. He has done some nonsense, for that he was punished for that. But never once Ramachandra took Ravana as his enemy. But for Ravana, Ramachandra is always my enemy. Isn't it? It is the same thing with Krishna also. Shishuval and Dandavatra and all of them were abusing Krishna, but Krishna was smiling at them. Because for Krishna, they are not his enemies. This enemy-friendship concept comes when Rajogunam is inside. When Rajogunam is inside. That is where this enemy and friendship relationship comes. Otherwise, on a transcendental level, where Ramachandra and Krishna has operated, there is no friendship, there is no enemy. That is why all Krishna's activities, if you notice in the Srimad Bhagavatam, from everywhere he was able to walk out smiling, unaffected by that. Why? There was no attachment, there was no friendship, there was no enmity. After Mahabharata war, Krishna is walking away from there. When so many people are crying, Krishna was smiling. My job is over, I'm going into the next place, he says. That is the mood. That is Krishna. So this quality, what Krishna and Ramachandra has exhibited, is necessary for a devotee too. Devotee should be looking towards that how to develop this same consciousness like Krishna and Ramachandra had. No Shatru, no Mitram, no friend nor enemy. In that case, what will happen is, Tato Nirdvandho Bhavati, then the dualities of this world will go away. Normally, in this world, we are all very busy in cultivating friends, aren't we? We think that these so-called friends will be there for me. Sometimes when some people talk about their friends, you just stand and laugh at their so-called faith in their friendship. The very friend whom they think that will be their friend will put the knife at the right time, comes also. So all this friendship and enmity are just useless things. That is why Narada Bhakti Sutram is pointing out these things. Yo Vedanavi Sanyasari. Then he says, after karma is over, he says, Yo Vedanavi Sanyasari. Even Vedic literature you have to leave away at that particular time. Why is that? Because Vedic literature also is doing only one thing. It takes you to a certain degree of realization. And once you have acquired that realization through your practice of spiritual life, you don't need Vedic literature after that. Vedic literature is only there to help you, to bring you there. Absolute truth is unknown. Krishna is realized within the heart by the individual. After that, he doesn't require the Vedic literature also. That is why only in Vedic literature you will find this statement, Yo Veda Anyabhi Sanyasari. Even Vedic literature you can give it up at that time. No other religious process in this world will tell you can give up now the literature. Would they? Is there any other Vedic process in this world where they tell you, no, they will hold on to that till the end. No. Vedic literature says, no, you don't. You realize it, give away that. That is finished there. That was required for that particular time for your spiritual life. That is taken. And now, Narada Muni says, this is the beauty of Vedic literature. Yo Vedanyabhi Sanyasari. And then, Kevalam Avichinyanu Ragam Labhade. That you have unbroken detachment from all the material life. And then, Satarati, Salogam Sarayati. Such a person will cross over Maya, get out of this illusory world. That is how Sri Narada Maharshi mentions this in the Narada Bhakti Sutram for those who wants to understand what is about the, how to get out of this Maya. So that is how it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, in the Narada Bhakti Sutra. So while coming back to these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, you will find here that the Narada Bhakti Sutram's prayers are only to indicate to us that unless in the modern science, where you will notice that one scientist comes, finds out something, isn't it? Another scientist comes, he sits on the shoulders of this scientist and continues further, the next one. In Vedic literature, the process is not like that. There is the literature, Vedic literature philosophy, and the guidelines, and the people, to give you the guidance. Take to the process, you realize it. Once you have realized it, then you are reaching that state of consciousness, where you don't have to go back to them again, asking for guidance or help. You are not standing on it is for everybody to use it and take the benefit from there. That is the importance of that. Now, coming back to this, then practicing the spiritual activities also. while practicing this, in this last word, Sarvakarma Phalatyagam, I was talking about that. You will have noticed there that the in order to perform Sarvakarma Phalatyagam, not to give up that, one has to develop that consciousness first. He has to understand why it is required, isn't it? The training is always like that. The training is a very difficult thing. For example, once it so happened that when they recruit people to the police department, yeah, young men, 20, 25 years old, full of strength and energy, so they are put through a very hard physical training, isn't it, for months together, 6 months or 1 year. So many organizations do that. Army is very tough, but even in police, as well as in the territorial army and all that, they do this. So not all who are recruited to the police are suitable for that job. Some of them sometimes may not be finding it very interesting. Lazy people also sometimes. So what they do normally is, in order to, sometimes in the winter season and all that, when there's too much to, they have to run a lot, miles and miles, to get their body fit to do the job. So sometimes they put them all together in one hall and tell them to ride the bike, kind of bike where you just tell them that you continuously move the pedals, and then he will tell you, the instructor will tell you, to increase the speed after a while, isn't it? He'll tell you to increase the speed. And he will charge them and wind them up so much that they will get more and more exercise, the body, and to make themselves more fit. This is why he was doing it. He is doing that for them. So he keeps telling them on and on and on and on. He'll keep on repeating. And they'll increase the speed and keep on increasing. And then he'll tell them that, imagine that you are going up the hill and do it like that, he said. So one of them who was going through this whole thing, he was not so serious about it. He just couldn't handle it, take it. So he made it very slow. He was doing it very, very slow. So the instructor got angry with him and came up to him and told him that, what are you doing? That everyone else is doing. What's wrong with you? He said. He says, I'm going down the hill. He said. So what, in other words, what he's saying is that if you are not caught the spirit of the whole thing, if you are just doing it for the sake, I have to do it. In that mood, if you start spiritual life, it will be like this. This training. This man who was in the Buddhist training school. Most of us are like that in spiritual life, aren't we? We take the beats, I have to chant 16 rounds now. How to finish it? Where is our spiritual life going? Where is it going in this way? The sages have not told us to do like this. They have that firmness and faith and in the strength of the Krishna's words. That is what is missing in us. And life after life, we drag this pedal like this policeman was doing, in backwards and backwards and backwards. We have come here somehow. We have taken to Krishna consciousness, finding it difficult to leave it because there is nothing else better than that outside. On the other hand, not finding any taste here either. In this condition, life after life goes on. Is this worthwhile? So that's why Krishna is saying here, all these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, they are meant for charging us in spiritual life. They should go in and make us think why Krishna has spoken like this. Why is it important to take it in the heart and take it seriously? That's what Krishna is saying here. Shayo hi jnanam abhyasal jnanal dhyanam vishishyate dhyanal karma phala tyagam tyaga chandiranandaram. In the next verse Krishna says, Shayo hi jnanam abhyasal. This verse I have mentioned before, that it can be understood in two different ways. That is due to the structure of this verse. Shrayo hi jnanam abhyasal. Better than the jnanam is abhyasam. That is one way. Jnanal dhyanam, better than abhyasam is jnanam. Then jnanal dhyanam vishishade. Better than jnanam is dhyanam. And then what else? Dhyanal karma balatyagam. Better than dhyanam is karma balatyagam. And after karma balatyagam, Krishna says there will be shanti. Isn't it? This is how one way of reading that verse. If you read it like that, what is the difficulty? I don't know whether you have thought about this. In the four verses before, Krishna is saying there that the karma balatyagam is the last one. And here, it's become the best one. So why did this contradiction? That you have to go through, think through this. Why is this? That is the language. That is the Sanskrit language, is the problem. Problem is this. Shrayohi jnanam abhyasal. There is one meaning, another way of understanding that. What it is that, it's called Panchami. Panchami in the grammar, they call it Panchami. Panchami means, Shrayohi jnanam abhyasal. Abhyasal jnanam becomes shrayam. In other words, if you practice it, abhyasam means, your jnanam will become excellent. Excellent jnanam will come to him. Otherwise, what will happen is, if you just say karma phala tyagam, which is the last option, if that is the final goal to achieve, and you reject jnanam and all that on that process, then it will become meaningless, wouldn't it? It will become meaningless. So, strictly speaking, to understand that verse, we have to know this, that jnanam is necessary, and dhyanam, abhyasam with jnanam is good, is good. And similarly, dhyanam with jnanam is good. And dhyanam, karma bhalatyagam will become much easier with dhyanam. Karma bhalatyagam will become much easier with dhyanam. Karma bhalatyagam is nothing but karma yogam, isn't it? Krishna's karma yogam in the third chapter, if you study in the Bhagavad Gita, it is all talking about karma bhalatyagam. If you remember, the yajna chakram, what Krishna has spoken about, evam pravartide chakram, anuvartayadi haya, Krishna says there, Akhairindriyaramo moham parthasa jeevati. In the third chapter you can see. So while talking about karma yogam, Krishna has spoken like that. That karma yogam is the one that breaks that connection with the material world, in strictly speaking. So karma phalatyagam is one stepping stone towards that. That's all it is. That it will purify and you will qualify for bhakti and jnanam and dhyanam. All that process becomes easier. So we shouldn't get confused about it. What Krishna is saying here is this, that shayohi jnanam abhyasal, abhyasam with jnanam is good. Not that better than jnanam is better than abhyasam is jnanam. That is one way, means that also. But rather, more fitting with the, in line with the four previous verses will be, when you say like this, that jnanam with abhyasam is good. And shayohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam ishishade. And dhyanam associated with jnanam will be better. Otherwise our dhyanam also won't stay there. No, isn't it? Jnanam is necessary because if you reject jnanam, what kind of dhyanam will that be? And similarly, dhyanam with karmabhalatyagam. Karmabhalatyagam with dhyanam. In other words, karmabhalatyagam is necessary in life to purify our karma. That is first thing. But simultaneously, we also have to perform, execute the jnanam and dhyanam processes, or the meditation, chanting the holy name. That is a kind of meditation what we are performing. That meditation has to go on. Simply karma balatyagam is not sufficient. Karma balatyagam is only to purify the karma by which we become more qualified to execute jnanam or dhyanam or the devotion processes, like the chanting the holy name. Everything is meant for that. So that is what the confusion between the four verses and this fifth verse. 8, 9, 10 and 11 tends to give a feeling that there is something wrong with verse 12. And this is that connections. Is that clear? Or is that why it is spoken like that? Yeah. So, shrayohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishare, dhyanal karma balatyagam tyaga chandi anandaram. Karma balatyagam is the last option which Arjuna was given and which has been given to us also. And you can now evaluate ourselves, where we stand in all these things, isn't it? First thing, what Krishna said, impossible, isn't it? Second thing, abhyasa yoga yuktena, abhyasam, not possible. They are also difficult thing. Third thing, what? Ata chittam samadhadam nasang mushimayistira abhyasa yoga yinadu mami chatum dhananjaya. No. Abhyasa api asamartosi mad karma karma bhava mad artham kubi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsasi. No, not possible. Krishna says at the end, what does he say? He said here that the adhidharak ashaktosi, if you are ashakta, if you are incapable of doing all the other things, adhidharak ashaktosi, kartam adhi yogam ashada, sarva karma phalatyagam, tadakuri yadatmavan. At least perform the sarva karma phalatyagam. So even that we are not able to do. Are we not? Even there we are incapable of following Krishna strictly. Are we? Aren't we not? Because Krishna is saying, even Sarva Karma Balatyagam also says, we are thinking, what opportunity do I have at Krishna's cost to make some money? So, where is Sarvakarma Balatyaga? What is the point in reading Bhagavad Gita when we do not accept these statements, Krishna's absolute statements in the Bhagavad Gita? Where is the question of questioning that? They are the guidelines forever, for all times to come, for all sorts, all people in this world. They are not sectarian. They are not meant for any living entity who has some realization of the spiritual life, who wants to go back home, back to Krishna. This is Krishna's instruction. There is no concession on that. Sarvagarma balatyagam yata akurata atmavan shreyohi jnanam abhyasal jnanal dhyanam mishishyade dhyanal karma balatyagam tyaga chandiranandaram. If it is all done like that, karma balatyagam is performed, then Krishna says he will have shanti. Shanti means om shanti shanti shanti. Then shanti will come. Shanti means what? The liberated state of consciousness. That is what it is. And so, that is a long process to go through. After all these things were spoken, Krishna has said there, in the very next verse, Krishna tries to say that that he starts making a list now. Krishna is making a list now. Now, the interesting thing about this list is, we have to check whether are we in that list or not. That's the most important thing for us, isn't it? Just like we also make a list at home, isn't it? Say, for example, there's a marriage at home. What do? You make a list whom all you should invite, whom you consider is close to you, and some way whom you feel is necessary that you should invite. So similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna is now making a list. And the interesting thing about this list is, Krishna says, from now on, all the verses in this chapter you will find, Krishna says, these people are dear to me. Sachami Priya, they are all Priya, they are all dear to me. Who? These people who are listed from now on. That is what that list is all about. Then, Krishna also says there, that the, for example, I'll give you an example. Say somebody comes, a very, very, rather than we saying that Krishna likes me, say for example, if I make a statement to you, Krishna likes me, where is the proof? Where is the proof for that? I can say to anything, isn't it? Whatever I can say. Any one of you can say the same thing. We all say also each other, we are all devotees, this and the other. But it will be much nicer if Krishna says that you are my devotee, isn't it? That is the proper thing, also correct thing also. When Krishna says to, like in the Bhagavatam, you will find some devotees, Krishna said they are my devotees. And when Krishna says that, then you can say that I am Krishna's devotee. Like in the, say a big person comes now to this room, Tony Blair or somebody like that, some great personality in the country. And he comes in and he points out one or two people, oh, they are here, I know them. If he says that, rather than they saying, oh, I know Tony Blair they say, I don't know anybody. He says, what will it look nice? Will it not look better rather than the Tony Blair says, oh, I know such and such a person? That shows that he recognizes them. That looks much nicer. So similarly, here also, when Krishna says, in this list, you are there in the list. If we are not in the list, don't get worried about it. But at least in the next issue, there is revision 1, 2, 3 goes on all the time. At least get into the next revision or the revision after that. Don't give up on because of that. The list is always there. Krishna's list is such a proper list. It will never go away. So only thing is, we have to get in there to that list. And Krishna is saying, who are in that list? He's not talking about the individuals now. He's talking about those who have these qualities, what Krishna is going to talk about. Adveshta sarva bhudanam maitra karuna yevaja nurmamo nirahangara sukha dukha samakshami. That is the first thing. The first verse, Krishna says, Adveshta sarva bhudanam. Adveshta sarva bhudanam. Sarva bhudana means to everything in this world, no dvesham, no enmity. No enmity. Adveshta. Sarva bhudanam. To everything. Bhuda means everything that is born, created, is bhudam. Even any living entity, even dull matter is bhudam. Even towards that you cannot have enmity. That's what Krishna is expecting from us. Those things we don't take into account at all. We do what we want. Even with human beings, we treat them, what to talk about dvesham. It never goes away. Once it goes in, it stays there for life. This is our situation. Krishna is saying, advesha sarvabhudanam. No enmity towards anything. One example is this, that you know when Buddha was in this planet, he trained up a lot of bhikshus, Buddha bhikshus. They are called Buddha Bhikshus. Bhikshus like sannyasis in the Vedic tradition. These Buddha Bhikshus were very well trained by Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha's spirituality was so strong that they all had a lot of deep realizations how to deal with this world. They didn't have any attachment for spiritual life in the Vedic tradition. That's another thing. But Lord Buddha, being Krishna himself, that has trained them very well in some of their teachings. If you read the Buddha Bhikshus, how they were. So once it so happened, a bhikshu was walking on the street. Buddha Bhikshus was walking on the street. Walking on the street, somewhere he saw a man was working very hard to remove a huge stone. He had got these different tools. He was trying to lift it and push it off and trying to move it. He was working very, very hard to move a huge stone from somewhere in his working area. So the Buddha Bhikshu asked him, "What are you trying to do?" He said, "If I can just get this stone moved from here, I can go home." That was his mood. So he was trying different kinds of metallic tools, putting it from underneath and lifting it and pushing it from the sides, all kinds of things he was trying. Nothing was working. So Bhikshu looked at him for a minute. And by chance, Bhikshu has developed certain spiritual siddhis. Siddhis had come to him due to practice of austerities and penances. Buddha Bhikshus are known for the, in them days, Lord Buddha's time, they were very severely into austerities and penances, and due to that, they had developed certain special capacity to do unusual things. What he did was, he told him, "Just move away," he said. He went and held this with love. He held this stone. It is also a Bhudam. Adveshta sarva bhudanam. Bhudam means that has been created. The stone is also created, isn't it? So he held that stone together and told the stone, he spoke to the stone, "Please move away from here to a little bit so that he can go home today, finish his work." And saying this, he moved the stone with his hands and made that person realize that Buddha Bhikshu's heart was so pure that he was able to do such a thing very easily. The story may look a little bit difficult for us to take it because of our mind, but such things did happen before. Adveshta sarvabhudanam. That is the nature of a person who has come to that stage. That is the Maitri Bhavam. Adveshta sarvabhudanam. Maitra karuna evacham. That Maitri. Maitri means mitram. Mitra means a kind of friendship to other living entities. But not the type of friendship we develop for sense gratification. That's not this friendship what Krishna is referring to. Krishna is talking about friendship where one feels that the other living entity is also suffering in this world. And due to that, a compassion associated with that and willingness to help him to advance spiritually. That is the friendship Krishna is talking about. Why? Why? Because Maitra Karuna Evacha. Karuna, he says there. Karuna, Karunyam. From Maitri comes Karunyam. Karunyam means that kindness to help another person to advance spiritually. What does Karunyam mean? Karunyam actually means to allow every living entity to live in this world in its natural way, not to disturb that. That is Karunyam. For example, in the modern world, we feel we have to change the whole world, isn't it? Every civilization, we want to crush it. We want to tell them, "Look, you don't know how to live in this world. Live like us, work 24 hours a day, run to the factory morning to night." And we want to change the whole world in this way. Otherwise, your economy is useless. We tell them like this, isn't it? And this fever has gone all over the world. All over the world, this is what's happening. This rushing, crushy life. What for? Because somebody is telling us that you don't live properly. Your the GDP is not growing properly enough. But look at ours, 8%, yours is only 4% or something. It's no good you are. What is you get from this? Krishna is saying here, that is not Karunyam. That is exactly opposite. Cruelty it is. Not allowing a person to live his life in this world according to his... After all, a person gets his body in a particular place, in a particular condition due to his previous activities. That's what is decided there. We go there and tell them, "Look, you're all useless. You just don't know how to live in this world. Look at the industries we have built. You also build like this and manufacture goods as much as you can, sell them and make the life so complicated,
so that you have no peace of mind at the end. This is what we are teaching them, are we not? Only thing is we don't tell them the last thing, because we are in too much anxiety to say this to them. But any intelligent person, when they see our anxiety, they will make it well. You have done it very well. You got that progress. So, karunyam is not that. Real karunyam is to allow any living entity in its natural way to function. For example, some people bring a parrot, put it, lock it up in a cage, and start feeding the parrot, and call it as karunyam. That is not karunyam. That is cruelty. It is true, because parrot has its karma to live through that body in some way. And you are stopping its life, but for my sense gratification, I want it in this way. Is this karunyam? Krishna's karunyam is not that karunyam. Krishna's karunyam is anything in this world, every living entity in this world, allowing its natural way to live through this world, not to disturb or put your, not to mess it up, their life, and entangle and interfering in their life, that's not karunyam. Karunyam is if you can help people to realize spiritually the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and encourage them to take to that process, that is karunyam. Otherwise, what is karunyam? There is no karunyam. Advesha sarvabhudanam maitra karuna evaja. Then more interesting that thing is this, nirmamo. Nirmamam. Nirmama means no attachment. And this word Krishna has used throughout Bhagavatam very well. And in the for householder particularly, Krishna says, householder life is the best one to discuss, isn't it? Because in brahmachari life and sannyasi life, what is there to discuss? There's nothing to discuss. For householder life, there is so much to discuss. So let's discuss householder life. Nirmamo nirahankara sukadukha sukshami. In order to, sometimes people will fight each other. Householder life, I'm saying this. Husband and wife is fighting. And if you find out what they were fighting for, you'll find it is such silly things they were fighting for. They were fighting for such silly things. Say for example, the milk and sugar. The cans were kept in some particular place in the cupboard. So he says to her, why have you kept it there? That's not the place for that. She says, why not? The argument picks up from that. No, it should be here. He moves it here somewhere else in the kitchen. And then she finds something. She says, oh, you're interfering in my life all the time, this and the other. She starts like that. So he says, no, you are unnecessarily arguing with me. And this argument builds up from there. This is one simple example. I'm just saying, this is not one, this is hundreds of them. Like this throughout day to day life. This is coming and going all the time, isn't it? Why, where is this coming from? Where does this mentality coming from? Krishna saying is, this is mamatvam. Mamatvam means that attachment. Attachment. It is from attachment that this has come. That from everything, Krishna says, Advesha sarva bhudanam maitra karuna yevaca nirmamo nirahankara samadukha sugakshamim. Like this, if you look at it, in everything in life, you will see this mamatvam is very, very strong. Once it so happened, this is just few things, just to give you an example, how this mamatvam is so strong. Somebody, he has built a house and living there comfortably with his wife, children, and he has got a servant lady and all that in the house. So they were sitting there at home. And once it so happened, some people have come, a group of people have come, looking for some donation, you know, from temples and ashrams people come, or church and all that, people come looking for donation, isn't there? So, this householder was sitting there, and he noticed a group of people are coming, so he went inside. He went inside the house. He didn't want to deal with them. He thought, let the servant lady who was doing some work outside, let her deal with it. So when they came in, they asked her, is the householder here, or the man of the house, or the lady of the house is here? So she sensed the scene very well. She was intelligent. She sensed and told them that, he's not here. What do you want? She said to them. So they said, oh, we have come from such and such an institution. We have come to collect some funds for the festival or this, that, something like that. They said. Or she said, oh, there's nobody here. You can go now, there's nobody here, and you may have to come later, or something like that. She was trying to get it off them like that. And they were just going away. When they were just leaving, the householder comes back. knowing very well what they have come for, he asked the servant lady, who are they? She says, oh, they have come for some collections, to asking for some funds for some festival or something like that. So what did you tell them? She says, I told them that there's nobody here. Who are you to tell them that? Who are you to tell them that? I'm sitting here. Call them back, he says. She goes, they just left the gate. So she goes back and tells them, come back, the man is here. He wants to talk to you. So they come back. He says, what do you want? She says, so we have come for from this particular temple, church, whatever it is, to collect some funds for this festival, and we wanted some help from you. He says, no, no, I don't help anybody, he says, you can go now. So, what do you gain from this? What do you understand? That why did he do like this? Why? His mamatom. That is called mamatom. Mamatom means that attachment, that I am the householder, she should not be answering, I should be answering that question. Why should she do that, what I should be doing? This way, silly, silly things, hundreds of things in life, will keep coming and fight and quarrel over this, and this is householder life is all about. I don't know if it is true or not, for many people it may be like, it may not be, it may be a degree of difference, all, that's all. But, nurmama, rehankara, samadukha, sukhakshami, Krishna says, if you develop mamatvam, now this mamatvam is the most difficult thing to break away from this world. In therefore, in all the Vedic sacrifices, do you know what they chant the mantra is? That is the most interesting thing. The whole Vedic mantras is like this. Idam na mama, idam na mama, idam na mama. Everything is offered into the fire oblations. The ghee is offered there, chanting the particular mantra for the deity, and then saying, idam na mama, it's not mine, it's not mine. He's making it clear to the deity that it's not mine. So, mamatvam is very difficult to break away. There is no question about that. In the Ekadasha Skandam, while Krishna is talking to Uddhava about householder life, Uddhava asked Brahmachari, Grihastham, Vanaprastham, Sannyasam, four ashramas are discussed there. While talking about Grihastha Ashram, Krishna says to Uddhava, there is only one thing a householder has to be careful at home. He should not get involved in anything and everything. If he does that, he will be lost. Householder has to live like this, nirmamam, that no attachment to anything, just like a guest. It may look strange when you say that, how to live like a guest inside your own house, but that's what is expected. Krishna says, otherwise you are digging your own grave in the house. That's what will happen. You'll get entangled in anything and everything. You'll get onto others' nerves. Arguments will start, fighting will start, then you will complain to others, house is not good. The living entity who has come to your family will live his life according to his karma. There is very little you can change their destiny. That's what you have to understand. That Krishna has chalked out certain plans and given to them according to his karma. You are just there as a silent witness to all what's going on in the family life. So, in this way, nirmamam, the word, mamatvam, Krishna has stressed this point in many, many instances in the Srimad Bhagavatam for our understanding, especially to the householder. And Advaishta Sarvabhudanam Maitra Karuna Evaja Nirmamo Nirahankara. But nirmamam does not finish with householder. It can also happen to others. Sannyasis also can become attached, isn't it? Sometimes some institutions are built, and after building the institution, sannyasi is feeling that this is not bad, let me live now comfortably here. If that attitude has come, that sannyasam is also finished there. That's over. So, nirmamo nirahankara sukadukha samakshami. That actually, many of us have the feeling that I have done that. It is from ahankaram that this mamatvam has come. You see, how this ahankaram works? Ahankaram comes from I am the doer, isn't it? So, nirahankaram, when one is free from ahankaram, this mamatvam also will not happen. The best thing way to explain that is that the attachment that comes from ahankaram, false ego, that I am the doer, and this is what I have done, you will find completely criticized in the Bhagavad Gita that prakrite kriyamani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. That there it is spoken in that way. And again in the Bhagavatam you will find in the third canto also, while Kapila Vasudeva was speaking to Devahuti Devi, the same thing is spoken. Why is it spoken so strongly? Is that any work that is done out of ahankaram, that of false ego and mamatvam, that will bind him. That will not give him any relief from the material entanglement. From the material entanglement. That is why in different situations in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, this one point is strongly mentioned again and again to make us aware that this one anartham, one has to come out of it somehow. So, nirahangaram samadukha sukakshami. Ahangaram will cause this problem. That ahangaram will develop into attachment. Attachment will develop into mamatvam. Ahangaram means mamatvam in other words. Mamatvam means attachment builds up from that. That is what he is saying. And this is all nothing but activities of the mind. If you think about it, it is nothing but activities of the mind, isn't it? Can you imagine how much of your energy every day is spent on this activity, mamatvam, due to mamatvam? So much is spent on that particular aspect and all mind is always disturbed due to that, because of this. That, so, when this mamatvam builds up, the easy way to break it away is like this. That the mamatvam, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, learn not to divide anything. Not to divide anything. In other words, divide means that to start seeing two different things. One person is good, one person is bad. If you start dividing people like that, then you will build up mamatvam. That immediately mamatvam will build up. He is my friend, he is my enemy. This will, thoughts will come. So do not allow that to happen, Krishna says. So me plus the object. If you bring these two things together, mamatvam happens, isn't it? Me plus the object. Say, me plus another individual. If I bring together, then the relationship will develop into mamatvam, attachment. So therefore Krishna says, in all things, see things as they are. Don't link yourself with that particular object. Once you start linking the things with the object, then you will build up mamatvam. And from mamatvam, you will get into all sorts of problems. That because why it is spoken like this is, that why is it that this attachment is so strong in us? That also you have to look. Actually, the mamatvam goes to such an extent. Can we, strictly speaking, hold on to anything in this world? If you have thought about that. Can you say anything in this world, it is mine, strictly? Because at the end of the day, when we leave this world, every single item, we have to leave it here and nothing will go with us. We know this very well. So, something what exactly doesn't happen. In other words, which we think we possess and which we really reality we do not possess, still this attachment has built up so strongly with it. So that is why it is a product of illusion, it is called. This is how Maya works in this world. Maya's direct action on us is this mamatvam, what we have built up to the material objects, to individuals and to other living entities and also to material objects and so many things in this world. Mamatvam has only come, Krishna says, because of this attachment. The sages who have given up this mamatvam, therefore they are Krishna's close associates. Advaishta sarva bhudanam maitra karuna evaja nirmamo nirahangara sugadukha samadukha sukhakshami. Samadukha sukhakshami. That is another interesting thing here. What does it mean? Sama dukha sukhakshami, Krishna says. That means, you may take it, for example, sukham means happiness, it comes in life, isn't it? Dukha means distress, that also comes in life. Does it mean that in happiness and distress, we should be equal? Does it mean like that? Can you be equal in happiness and distress? The very fact that you have accepted something as happiness and something as distress shows that you have already divided something as happiness and something as distress, is it not? The division has already happened. Just like you have decided people into two groups, he is my friend and he is my enemy. You also divided happiness and distress also into two. That is why one is called sukham and one is called dukham. Otherwise, why should it become sukham and why should it become dukham? So already you have done the division. Having done the division, Krishna is expecting us that when sukham comes, I keep quiet. When dukham comes, also I keep quiet. Is that what Krishna says? No, that's not what that verse means. Sama dukha sukhakshami, Krishna says. Samam. Sama means to see things as they are. When sukham comes, being detached from that, some kind of happiness is coming to me now in this way, but not being attached to that. Similarly, when distress comes also in the same way. Dukkham is coming, but I am not part of that. It has come to me, but I am not affected by that. That is what is required. It is not that saying sukham and sukham equally. That is not possible. Once you have accepted some dukkham and sukham separately, then you have to have this attitude towards that samam. That means to see as they are, the things. Just like we mentioned before, to allow all the living entities to live in this world according to their karma and whatever conditions they were born, and not forcing them to change their life. That is karunyam. Similarly, sama dukkham, dukkham and sukham, from Krishna's point of view, is to treat both of them in a detached way. To see, accept that in the particular instance, whatever way it comes. That because you cannot hold anything to yourself. Where is the question of this? Are we able to do anything in this world about it? No, we have no capacity to hold anything on to us in this world. And it is to these objects that our mamatvam is so strongly established. So that's what Krishna is saying. So strictly speaking, that discrimination between the happiness and distress, that is what is required. This is happiness that's coming, this is distress that is coming, and I'm transcendental to both. That consciousness is what is expected of us, and that was the nature of the great sages. Therefore, all these qualities, what I mentioned in Krishna's list, people with those qualities will fall into those lists. It is they that who fall into that list.
Samadukha sukhakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yadal madrida nishchaya mayarpida mano buddhi yamal bhakta same priyaham.
That what is kshama? Kshama means in all circumstances to maintain that sandushti. Sandushti means that not being affected by that. That is the capacity. Not being affected by the modes of nature.
Sandushta sadadam yogi yad atma drada nishchaya mai arpita mano buddhi yamal bhakta same priyaha.
You will find from now on, such a devotee is dearer to me, Krishna says, such a devotee is dearer to me. Why is Krishna saying like that is? Sometimes we have this misunderstanding that, I'm not doing anything and I'm not serving Krishna, I'm not doing anything. And because of that, some kind of lamentation, what have I done? But strictly speaking, Krishna is saying, what kind of person is dearer to him? Krishna is not saying that one who has put tirak and disturbing the whole world with his activities. That's not what Krishna is called to say, first-class devotee. Krishna's first-class devotee is that devotee who moves through this world without causing any mark on it. In other words, causing any disturbances to others. And if one has that capacity to do that, Krishna says that he is dearer to me. Yadalma drida nishchayaha. That he is very firmly fixed up in spiritual life. In other words, he knows what he wants in this world. What does he want? He wants to go back to Krishna. That is what he wants. And this conviction has to be very, very strong. Yadalma drida nishchaya. Krishna says, nothing else will satisfy him. He is not looking for name or fame or wealth or anything in this world. All he wants is Krishna. So, sandushta satadam yogi yadalma drida nishchaya. And because of that, mayarpidamano buddhir albhakta sajame priyaham. A person who has given to me that his mind and intelligence, mayarpidamano buddhir, one who has handed over his mind and intelligence to me, with this understanding, he is very dear to me, Krishna says. Now you know what is required to get into Krishna's list. That Krishna's list is very individual, in the sense that personal. It says to you, this pleases Krishna. This is what pleases Krishna. When an individual in this world lives in this world with this understanding, what Krishna has spoken, Adveshtam sarvabhudanam maitra karunaye vaja nirmam onirahangara samadukha sugakshami sandushta sadanam yogi yadalma dra nishaya mayarpidamano buddhir malbhakta same priyaham. He is very dear to me. And from now on, all the remaining verses will finish with these words. Same priya, same priya, same priya. He is dear to me, he is dear to me, he is dear to me, he is dear to me. Krishna repeats this from now on. Why is that? Because this is what Krishna wants from us. If these qualities are there in a person, that person is dear to Krishna. That's what Krishna, what more can Krishna do? Krishna is telling us, this is what I want from you. Not something what you have concocted as the spiritual life. Or what you think that, oh my Krishna wants this. When Krishna wants a burfi, we make rasagula and says to Krishna, eat this, I have made this for you, you eat it. That is not love. When you do what Krishna wants you to do, that is love. Not what we want to do and to please Krishna with that. That does not happen. So that is why, sometimes you can see people, once it so happened, that one lady, she was in a distressed mood. So she was living in an ashram, and she was living, sometimes everybody gets their own difficult times in life, isn't it? So this lady, due to some difficult conditions at the ashram and her previous life in the family and all that, some disturbed situation came to her. So she sat there in the ashram in a very particular way and was reflecting on what is to be done. And she looked from outside and somebody saw her, looked as though she was a little bit depressed. She was a little bit depressed. All she was doing was, she was sitting there and thinking about the situation and analyzing in her own mind, in her own way, and trying to come to terms with it and trying to find some peace. Because after all, she was cultivating spiritual life. And from spiritual life, one cannot get depressed and live like that. One, through the light of the knowledge what comes from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, one should evaluate material existence and from there find the way to release from that distressful condition. So that's what she was doing. So another person thinks, oh, she looks a little bit distressed, I have to help her. He starts thinking straight away and goes to her and asks her straight away, what's wrong with you? This and that. We all do this kind of things, isn't it? Not allowing another person to live their life peacefully in this world. This is the most difficult situation when it happens. So the another person thinks that he has to help her. So in order to help her, he decides to go to her and asking her, oh, what's the problem? And then starts talking to her. All she wanted was just some peace to sit herself and think through and analyze her life and come to terms with it. That is possible. One who studies Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam will eventually do that. But that will not be allowed. Some people are there like that who will not allow that to happen. So that is why Krishna is saying here, Yasmanno dujade loko, loganno dujade chaya, harsha amarshavayo dvage kuktoya sajame priyaha. Krishna says in the very next verse, Yasmanno dujade loko, this is a verse very important. Some people create a lot of anxiety in this world for others. Krishna says, I don't like them. Who does that? Creating anxiety for others for nothing. In different ways they create anxiety. And also Krishna says, I don't like those who get disturbed by the anxieties of this world. That is also there. Yasma anno dijade logo, loga anno dijade chaya. Krishna says like that, harsha marsha bhayo udvager, udvager mukto hoya sajame priyaha. One who has relieved from harsham. Harsham means that happiness in others' distress. That is what happiness of this world, isn't it? Happiness of this world is nothing but the distress of other people. That is what the happiness of this world is. Harsham amarsha bhayo dvager. Amarsha means getting angry when one's desires are not fulfilled. That is amarsham. Harsham amarsha bhayo udvager. Bhaya means fear. What will happen tomorrow? Udvaga means anxiety. What is going to happen tomorrow? This kind of things. Harsha marsha bhayo dvager mukto hoya sajame priyaham. That Krishna is saying here, one who has a clear vision in his head about the goal, Lakshya Bodham, that is called Lakshya Bodham. The ultimate goal, he is clear in his head. He is not disturbed by any of these things in this world, what is going on. That, and he has committed himself to me. And such a person, Krishna says, he is dear to me. Otherwise, he is not dearer to me. Harshamayashamayodhugir muktoya asajame priyaham. So, what we have to do is here, is that when we read through all these things, particularly, we have to evaluate ourselves. We have to evaluate us. Are we in the list? This is the question we have to ask. And often, you will find that we are not in the list. Not in the list. Not even in the waiting list. Not to talk about the list. So, because it is like that, But if you know what is required, you can work towards that, isn't it? That is why Bhagavad Gita is telling us what Krishna wants from us in order to get there into the list. If you don't understand what Krishna says, and then if we start doing things with our own mind and start acting in whimsically, thinking that, oh, I am doing this, I am doing that, and disturb the whole world, cause a lot of enemy towards everyone, and at the end, disturb everybody, and everyone starts thinking, let this guy leave this world and go away. At the end, is that Krishna consciousness? Would you say is Krishna consciousness? Krishna consciousness is not there. Krishna consciousness is when we reach this degree of qualities, what Krishna has listed here, and those devotees, you will notice, who have acquired these qualities are Krishna's devotees. Are Krishna's devotees. And they, naturally, Krishna decides to glorify them. Krishna decides to glorify them. That is how Krishna's ways are. Nobody understands Krishna's. When a person has developed such qualities and become Krishna's person, then Krishna glorifies him. Sometimes people say that Srila Prabhupada propagated Srimad Bhagavatam to the world. Isn't it? Every one of us have this concept about it, like that. Strictly speaking, it is not like that. Through Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna propagated Srila Prabhupada to this world. That is exactly what has happened. Bhagavatam existed even before Prabhupada came to this world. But Krishna's relationship with the devotee is like that. When Krishna likes a devotee, he makes sure that the devotee is glorified through some means, through Krishna's ways. So, strictly speaking, rather than Srila Prabhupada propagating Srimad Bhagavatam, it is the other way. Through Srila Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's glories are propagated in this planet. That is how it has happened. That is what Krishna's ways are. Because Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna himself. Srimad Bhagavadakhyoyam Pratyaksha Krishna Mevahi. He is Pratyaksha Krishna. So, one who has taken Srimad Bhagavatam, and the spirit and the principles of Bhagavatam wholeheartedly, that person is Krishna's devotee. Yomal Bhakta Same Priyaha. That person is very, very dear to me, Krishna says. And that is what Krishna has done. So here you will see that Yasman no dujade logo, logan no dujade jaya, harshamashamayo dujade muktoya sajame priyaham. Then this udvegam. Udvegam means this anxiety in the mind does not go away very easily. Once it so happened, a king was living in his palace one day. And king was very, very powerful. Naturally, as you know, the kings in the olden days were very, very powerful. And he used to be very particular about everything, about his palace maintained, how it's maintained, and his guards who were standing outside, how they kept the place in order. All these things he was very particular. So, once it so happened, that one sannyasi means he was more like he has nothing in this world, strictly nothing, virtually nothing. He has completely given up this association with this world. So he used to wander around everywhere. And one day it so happened that he happened to come through friend of this palace. So when he came there, he had one gani bag, you know, the sack-like thing in which he slept. He used to carry it with him. Wherever he wanted to sleep, he used to just spread it and lie there and sleep. So one day the king came out of the palace, and it so happened the guards did not notice him lying a little away from the palace, and he was lying down and resting there. The king saw him lying there, and the king noticed that and came up to him and told him that, "Do you know where you are lying?" He said, "Yes, I do." He said, so the king said, said to him, "Do you know that this is the palace, king's palace?" He said, "Yes, I do." So the king started putting his authority on him to such an extent. He told the king, this story will give you a little resemblance to what happened between Bharata and Raghuvana in the fourth canto. Similar situation. This sannyasi says to the king, that, do you say it is your palace? He says. The sannyasi says to the king, "Of course it is," he said. "Did your father live here?" he said. He said, "Yes, he lived there." "Did your grandfather live here?" He said, "Yes,
They all live here and they have been there. They were ruling this kingdom, he said. So where have they gone? He said. Where is your grandfather gone? He said. He has gone somewhere. So for 50, 60 years, he was telling, this is mine, this is my palace, this is king. He has gone now. Your palace is still lying there, he said. Your father did exactly the same thing like your grandfather. You are also doing exactly the same thing. Where is the difference between three of you? He said. To the king. And he said, you are actually, he said, you are living in a chaultri. You know what a chaultri means? Chaultri in India we say satram. Satram means a dharmashala like thing. Where you just go and sleep in the night and walk away from there the next morning. Similarly, your father had done that. Your grandfather has done that. You are also going to do the same thing. And I am also exactly doing the same thing here. Tonight I will sleep here. I will sleep somewhere else tomorrow. Where is the difference between you and me? That time the king came into his senses a little bit. Up to that time, mind was so strong in the mind of that king. He paid his obeisances. He said, I don't need all that. I am leaving, he said. He took his bag and left. That's all. That's what it is. That's why udvegam, the word used is harshamarshamayodvegem muttoya sajame priyaham. Udvegam, people create anxiety in others' mind for nothing, not knowing what their own situation is. Sometimes we notice when you, this is more interesting in many houses, nowadays it's quite fashion. Everywhere in the world, beware of the dog, they'll keep home. So once it so happened, a couple of people, they got drunk. And then they were walking, they saw this board in house, beware of the dog. They knocked at the door, the householder came out. He says to them that, why have you kept this board like this? If you want to keep the dog, you be beware of it. Don't tell others to be beware of it. They picked up the fight from there. He said. They started the fight with the householder. Because they were had inside a bit of this gone in, they were fully conscious that this board should be removed straight away. Beware of the dog. So they started fighting with the household. He says to him, if you want to be beware of the dog, you be beware of the dog. Don't tell others to be beware of the dog. And this is your dog, you may keep the dog here. Like that they picked up the call from there. And then they walked a little bit further. Somebody else, they started picking up fight with someone else. So one good thing about it is, when this goes inside, little bit this will go away. This consciousness of, I am the controller. This goes away and becomes the whole world is mine, isn't it? That feeling comes in. So here, what he did was, they started fighting with somebody else who were not drunk. So they said to him, that just because some of this has gone inside, don't start picking a fight with us, they said. So like this, people create udvegam. Udvegam means this anxiety to others in different ways, knowingly and unknowingly, for nothing. People create udvegam in others' minds. Krishna says that kind of behavior is not acceptable. If you want to go back to Krishna, all such behavior has to stop. Harshamarshamayodvegeir muttoya sajame priyaham. That when one who has developed such qualities, that one feels that one has to have control on others, one has to control others' life, so much to such an extent that sometimes it becomes very, very difficult for other living entities. In this world you will find rich people, poor people, healthy people, sick people, and beautiful people, ugly people, different color combinations, all sorts of things, varieties in this world. One should not, Krishna says, one should try to see in all living entities as Krishna's presence and not divide them on the basis of the body and bodily identifications. Because that will lead into more and more falling away from Krishna consciousness. Just like we were talking about this, that the Bhagavatam in the beginning, what does it point out? Shovidvara hoshtragare samstuda purishat pashu nayal karna katho vedam jaduna amagada grajaham. There are four kinds of animals Vedavyas discussed, isn't it? Shava vidvaram hoshtan karam. Out of that, the camel is the most one of the dangerous ones. Why? The camel is thinking that I am doing the right thing. It is eating the thorn, and from the thorn its own blood is coming out, and drinking that blood it is enjoying, thinking that I am enjoying. So similarly, when we deal in this world also, Krishna says you have to keep this in mind, that you are not spending your energy
in unnecessary things and thinking that that is enjoyment. On the other hand, that energy should be utilized for spiritual life. That is what the point Krishna is making. We are all like that camels, aren't we? Lot of our effort, energy in this world is for our own so-called happiness which never comes at any time. It's only distress at the end. So Krishna is saying there, Shavidvarahoshtagare samstuta purushat pashu nayal karna katho vedam jaduna amagada agrajaha. That why is that these four animals were compared for this reason only? By our characteristics, we are like animals in that sense. And later on, in the same chapter, Krishna will say that some of the qualities, what is required for human society, from the animal kingdom, we'll come to that later. But here, what is significant to note is this, that even from the animals, Krishna has given for the human society to take note of certain things. And that is what is this one particular habit of the living entity to be, act like the camels. And there Krishna says, Nayal karna katho vedam. Even after hearing about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, one will not take to the chanting name, chanting of the holy name, chanting process. So Krishna says here, Anabhekshasi dirdaksha udasino gadavyatha sarvaryambha marityagi yomal bhakta same priyaham. Then anabheksha, another interesting word, anabheksha. Anabheksha means have no desire to have anything. Anabheksha, freedom from that kind of desire. And this is something very difficult to explain also. All of us think that, anabheksha, what is there? Anabheksha is that simple thing, that not to have a desire, abheksha, not to have abheksha. Abheksha means a request for having something. So this abheksha, what is normally it is abheksha in us. Krishna is saying here anabheksha. It comes in different forms in our speech also, in our conversations with other people, in our day-to-day activities. All this abheksha is always there. We want something, isn't it? But we'll put it in a very, very tactful or complicated way, that the person who listens to it, he will understand the message, but at the same time it will be very, very polished. Very polished way we put it. Sometimes you can see, oh, you find something very nice. You will say to the friend, oh, you got two of it, have you? In other words, you only say that much, that's enough. What does it mean? I want one of it, isn't it? That's what it means, isn't it? But the way you say it is, oh, you got two of it, have you? That's enough. You've got the message, isn't it? If you think it's clever, you know it, what he is talking about. It's the same thing. When we go to the, why do we have this desire for sale, purchasing in the sale? Abheksha, isn't it? That also we find something we want in everything, every deal in this world, there is abheksha. You won't know it, because it is such a subtle thing. It's there. But that comes in because of the civilized way of dealing with people. We don't show it, exhibit it to us, others. But we need it, the desire is there. Krishna says, that's no good. Anabheksha sujir daksha. Anabheksha. One has to develop that kind of consciousness, Krishna is saying there. Just it so happened that I don't know, here it is not like that, but in India it is very much like this. The marriage ceremony is big, isn't it? Everyone wants to show their marriage as the biggest event in the life. As though this marriage thing in the Vedic times was not given much of an importance except to have spiritually advanced children, they would not consider marriage as necessary. Otherwise, the stress was on the brahmacharya ashramam and on the spiritual advancement of the living entity. Apart from that, every other marriage, celebrating marriages like this level was not at all a part of the Vedic tradition. In fact, it has gone to such a level that the amount of money involved and the amount of the expenditure involved is so high that many, many families find it very difficult. And they have been told all this in the name of religion. This is the sad thing. Vedic religion doesn't expect this, but it has become for the sake of name or to satisfy the needs of the society, people get involved in all these kinds of activities. So that is quite common. So it becomes so much now that this sending out invitations. So while issuing the marriage invitations also, a lot is expected from the guests also. okay, in the bottom they will put a note saying that no presents please, or no gifts please, or something like that, isn't it? They'll put all these kind of things. But if somebody brings it, they'll happily take it. Anyway, that's another thing. That renunciation hasn't come, but I'm just saying that how the society functions in these things. So one day one person was distributing his marriage invitation to different homes, where he was going personally distributing and inviting them to come for the marriage. So he went to, on the way, in the street he met someone whom he was going to distribute the marriage invitation. So the natural, normal system is that you go to the house and invite all the family member, gives the letter. This is the current system. I'm not saying that this is the proper system. It's the current system. So he was going to invite and he met this person on the way. So he said to him that, oh, there was no to come. You can give the letter to me here. I'll take it. And then when I'll come for the marriage and all, he said, so he didn't know where he lived. The man who was inviting, where he lived, was unknown to this person. He didn't have his proper, but they knew each other, either from workplace or from through some other dealings. They have known each other. So he said that, you should come for the marriage. I'll expect all of you to come. So he said, oh, I don't know where you live, he said. So he said, oh, if you go through, gave some directions, you know, you go through straight on this particular road and then you turn right here and turn left. And then there is a telephone post, electricity post, and something like that. And right opposite, there is a small way you walk to right-hand side, first house and all. He gave the directions to him. He said, and if you come there, and when you get there, you just press the calling bell with your elbow. He said, you just press the calling bell. So he couldn't understand why he says, press the calling bell with the elbow, he said. In other words, what he was saying was, when you come in such a way that both your hands are full of gifts and presents, so that you may not be able to press the calling bell and press it with your book. He put the message in a very subtle way to this person. He got the message, what he was saying. Anavesha-sajir-deksha udasino gadavyathaha sarvarambhavarityagi yomal bhakta samepriyaha. Krishna says, this anaveksha has to come. Apeksha has to go from the person's heart. Sajir-deksha udasino gadavyathaha. Then again, Krishna is saying there that udasinam, indifferent to everything what's going on in this world. Especially in the modern world, it is very difficult to live like that, isn't it? Even if you try to run away, the world will follow you. And not only that, the mind, once it is involved, it will create its own world for you, if not nothing else. That is why the so-called modern world is all not very helpful for spiritual life. The news, every hour on the hour, television, radio, and television, radio is not sufficient, then you bring the newspapers also home. And if this is all not sufficient, then you have got the fourth thing called the website to go into. So like this, so much you have created to get affected by this external world, isn't it? And then what will happen? Krishna is saying there, harsham arshabhaya dvager muktoya sachame priyaha. This interaction with this external world will only create udvegam, anxiety in your mind for nothing. You won't gain anything from there. Therefore, Krishna is saying in this world, anabhecha sujirdaksha udasino gadavyadhaha. Udasinam, he is indifferent to this world. I have nothing to do with this world. What goes on in America or Europe or elsewhere, what does it matter? What am I going to do with it by knowing what's going on there? You can give hundreds of answers saying how important it is to keep up to date with what's going on in this world, keep up to date with the stock market, this, that and the other. That is another thing. But for one who is trying to advance on the spiritual path, all this is useless. All the news from the States, the news from Australia and America and Europe and Africa, they're all useless. What does it help? Anabhecha sujirdaksha udasino gadavyadaha. That is that udasinan word. Udasinan means to keep a distance. It's no use knowing about it. Material world will go on whether you are here or you are not here. It has its own way to go through. You can't alter that. You can't alter that. Sarvarambha parityagi. Next one. Sarvarambha parityagi. This is one word where Krishna has put in a little subtle way. Why subtle? Sarvarambha parityagi, it says. Sarvarambha parityagi means, if you take the literal meaning of that word, it means what? It means that you won't start any project in any way. Isn't it? Arambha means to start something. Sarva arambham, all projects, you are going to stop. you know. So that is what the literal meaning of that word says. Sarvaramba Paritiyagi. All the way Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, a lot of things are quite spoken in a paroksham, in an indirect way. So that is understood by the sages. They know it, what it means. We, if you read it and take literal meaning from that, sometimes we will be confused about it. Just like if you say, Sarvaramba Paritiyagi means Arambam, nothing, I will start no project. I'm just going to sit here like this, not do anything. No, that's not what it means. What it means is, Sarvaramba Paritiyagi means anything Arambam or beginning starts when you identify with it as you are the doer. Only then it becomes Arambam. As long as you are executing karma in this world, being directed by Krishna, and for sake of Krishna and Krishna's instructions, that does not become a Arambam. It is not an Arambam. It is a natural thing for the living entity to execute that in Krishna's service. That is taken, understood that way. So that side, there is no attachment or aversion in that. There is no attachment for results, or there is no disappointment if the results don't come. You see? So this Sarvaramba Paritiyagi is actually in this context that Krishna has spoken like this. That one has to understand, one has to execute one's duty in this world, not being connected with it, that I am the doer and the results must come. Results is in Krishna's hands. Every activity in Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna will say this to Uddhava very clearly while criticizing the Mimamsakas. Mimamsakas are criticized. Mimamsa is the branch of philosophy which was propagated by Jaimini. And Jaimini's philosophy was like this. Karma Mimamsa it's called. If you perform karma, results must come. This is Jaimini's theory. Krishna says, no, it is not like that. You may perform karma, results need not come. That depends on me. I am the giver of the results. Krishna says that. Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So when you understand that, you can see Sarvaramba Paritiyagi means one who has no attachment to think that he is the doer and who does not start anything in this life thinking that he is the doer. In that, such a way, if one starts his activities, then he is Sarvaramba Paritiyagi. So, anabeksha shujir daksha udasino gadavyadhaha sarvaramba parityagi yomal bhakta same priyaha. Such a person, Krishna says, is very, very dear to me. Then, yona hrishyadi na dveshti na shochadi na kankshadi subha subha parityagi yomal bhakta same priyaha. So, I think we will stop there. Isn't it? It's 8 o'clock. Yeah. We'll stop there, or glory to Srila Prabhupada, and we'll continue next Sunday. Yeah. Yeah.